Welcome back. It's the return of the Mac. I'm your host, Jessup, for another episode of Sodom and Gomorrah. Attached to my torso, as always, my goth girl from the streets of Kensington, my Edgar Allan Poe, Stephanie.
Hi.
Much has happened since our last episode in October, Stephanie. As we said on our Cult of Kaiju mini episode. But the big question on everyone's mind in the year of 2024, will this be the year that Tim Curry finally goes to sleep and doesn't wake up? What say you, wise Stephanie?
I say,
as a scientist,
you shouldn't say that because you're going to curse him.
But as a scientist, you have to admit that body looking broken down.
He's been looking that way for a while. He just keeps hanging on.
Yeah. And sometimes whoever's pushing the wheelchair has to be the voice of reason, okay?
But he's probably all there mentally. You think?
No, he's not there mentally. He's there. I don't know. I don't know if he's there mentally because I don't know him personally, but just seeing the pictures.
Yeah.
It's not looking good for my boy.
But sometimes your body fails your mind, you know?
Let's play a game. I want to play a game. Who do you think is on the top list of who's going to die this year, celebrity-wise? The old ones, as they say.
I don't even know who the fuck is alive anymore.
Christopher Lloyd? You think he's going to die this year?
Oh my God, I don't want to do this.
Christopher Lloyd?
Why are you saying him?
I don't know, because he's old. He has them just like Danish ears, those big old Danish ears full of peach cobbler hair. My pick's going to be William Shatner.
Oh man, how old is he?
He's 92. He looks like, sometimes you get like a grape that's just bursting at the seams with juice. That's what he looks like his face. He's got like a burst juice face grape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like the old people, they're outliving the young ones.
The old people are outliving the young ones?
Yeah, it's like the younger actors and celebrities and stuff that are dying.
Oh, actors.
Yeah, and it's the old ones. They're like Anthony Hopkins.
Except.
Still playing the piano for his cats.
Except Timothy Chalamet. The man can do no wrong. I was like, that Wonka movie looks like shit and everybody loves it.
I know.
So I guess he's immortal, too.
I mean, we'll watch it.
Is he the next Tim Curry? Check back in 92 years to find out. No. William Shatner, I think he's got the perfect mix of, like, age and high blood pressure. And also, he's got, like, this bitterness because he thinks that, like, they're trying to write off Captain Kirk.
Oh.
Because no one has approached him, like, do you want to do an old Captain Kirk show? Like we did for Patrick Stewart. No one has approached him. So
maybe it's his bad fucking attitude. Maybe
he's
that's
fucking,
why.
He's real pissed about it. So I think about that.
Yeah.
Like, and that's the blood, high blood pressure is just increasing his risk for stroke.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, or depression. Right. So it's going to be either a vein's going to burst in his head or a phaser is going to shoot through his mouth through the top of his head.
Oh my God.
He's going to take his own life is what I'm saying. So in between, we've been watching a lot. It's been a while.
We watch a lot.
So we watched a lot.
We've been watching a lot of Top Chef.
I'll tell you one thing. I've been watching a lot of Top Chef. I love it. I don't know. Because I've watched all the British Bake Off. So now I gotta feed my drug addiction for culinary. I mean, I'm a whore for the cooking shows.
Me too.
I can't help it.
I love it.
And I lose I lose days of my life where I'm like, what did I do on Tuesday? Oh, I watched 12 episodes of Top Chef. Like I fall into a hole.
Yeah.
I don't eat. I don't drink. I don't bathe. I don't do anything. I just lose. I have like these, like this whole portion of my life that just falls into a fucking like abyss.
It's like the Top Chef blackout.
It's like a black hole of time. But then also at nighttime, I've been watching Naked and Afraid, which is the worst show ever.
The worst.
But I'm going to thank Matt from the Incredible Two-Headed Horror Show because he mentioned
it. Which Matt? Because there's two.
Matt Suter, the one that looks like this guy we're going to talk about in the movie. He was talking about how he watches it and it's so stupid. So I turned it on. And of course, I get sucked into it because it's so fucked. And I don't really like reality television except for cooking shows.
Yeah.
That's like... I just can't stop watching cooking shows. I just love them. But this one also like hits that sweet spot because I did like Survivor for a minute. I haven't watched it in years.
What do you like? You like Alone the
Alone.
Best.
I love Alone.
Nothing's as good as Alone.
Alone. If you Naked and Afraid is like basically like if you mix Survivor with Alone. So it's like It's basically like they get two strangers, they got to be buck ass naked, and they put them in a situation and they got to survive out there for 20 days. So it's not...
Which is like neither of the shows that you were just talking about.
Right. It's exactly like them, though.
Because those shows are challenging. This is a challenge, but like...
But...
Also...
So what you learn from watching the show is that...
People's asses are nasty.
Oh, yeah. You see a lot of like rocks in pockets, yeah. Which is what Steph calls people who have cellulite ass.
No, I don't. Yeah, my dad does.
No, you do.
I don't.
You taught your dad that.
No.
But what you learn from watching the show is like the majority, like say yesterday, I mean, not yesterday, say tomorrow you woke up, all the stores and farms were gone. They just disappeared.
Okay.
Inexplicably, right? It's like a horror movie thing.
So I'd have to like get my own food.
So then you were like... And then you walked outside and you turned around, your house was gone.
Okay.
And all the houses were gone. And the majority, I'll say, not so much in other countries, not so much in third world countries, because they're kind of acclimated to like fending for themselves. But particularly in the US, if this happened, civilization would crumble in less than 20 days, because that's the time that people have to like fend for themselves on this show, is like they're supposed to survive for 20 days. Most of them cannot hack it. Like, as far as like getting their own food, getting their own water, and they're proud when they survive for 20 days. But the funny thing is that most of these people have barely survived the 20 days, and they have lost 20 pounds in the process of just surviving for, and they're all proud of themselves. Like too. Oh yeah, I did it. I was like, you didn't do shit. You starved your body for 20 days and you just happened to like not pass out from exhaustion. That's not really like, don't pat yourself on the back for that. That's not really surviving. To me, like, you would be proud of yourself if you went in there and you left the same weight, same health.
Right.
But that's not what happens in the show. But people are still have this convoluted
because outlook they didn't
where they
leave.
Where they think, like, I did it. I stayed. I conquered it all. You ate, like, a snail and a worm for 20 days.
I would
20 days.
100%. Not make it 20 days because...
Oh, and that's not me trying to sound... I'm not trying to sound cocky. Like, I would be able to do it.
My issue is, like, I don't know... I don't know that I could kill an animal, and I don't know how to forage. I don't know what's safe to eat.
Right.
I would, you know? Like, I think that would be... I don't know.
What, I could definitely... I could definitely kill an animal. I could kill...
Like a squirrely?
The sweetest chipmunk.
Oh, my God.
If I was hungry enough, the sweetest chipmunk I would kill... Oh. I could eat like, and I could like cook that up and I could eat that. But I'm telling you right now, like if I was in a situation where like I had to subsist on like fish, I would kill myself.
Yeah, you wouldn't do it.
Cause like I would just be gagging. And I'd like to think like the hungrier you are, you'll just eat stuff and it will taste good to you cause you're so hungry. But I don't believe that I would be like that. I would think I would be in a whiny little bitch.
I think
I'd be like, I want tacos El Pastor. I want, you know, I want Santucci's pizza with the sauce on top of the cheese.
Where is my latte from Starbucks?
I want my latte with the cream from the pumpkins. And you're like, we don't have that. We have dirt lattes.
Here's a grub.
And then it's like, I think you would do better than in a situation than I would. I think you'd be able to rough it better cause you're pretty tough. Check.
Well, thanks.
All things considered. I don't know why I said all things considered. But it just seemed like to
admit, what things are we considering?
Yeah, I don't know. I do think you would be able to last in a situation longer than me, for sure. I just think you would be able to stomach things that I wouldn't be able to stomach, because even at home, when we make a dinner that's disgusting, I'm like, trash it. And you're like, it's food, just eat it. And I'm like, and I never say that. I'm never like, it's food, just eat it. That's a very much like a Steph saying.
It is.
So well, I could see you could be making like dirt pies for us in like our out. Like you would be sheltering me. You'd be like making me a nice little house to live in and making me like little dirt pies and stuff. And I would just be crying the whole time.
Thank you.
I think what would get you in this situation would be the bug bites.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Where like, I think I could deal with the bug bite situation pretty like easy, and I could deal with the being cold situation better. You would not be able to deal with those things at all.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause
so I would be hungry.
If I had clothing,
you'd be cold and itchy.
If I had clothing, it'd be a different story, but being fucking completely naked.
Yeah. It is weird in that show too. Cause like they have to like, you know, you do see like there's people that are in good like shape.
Yeah.
Then there's also saggy people. It's like a good like overall. I will say the thing that's good about the show is it's not like all super attractive people.
Right,
a lot of it's just average people, which is cool. But like you got to see a lot of this nasty asses, and like a lot of time you got to like cuddle up to a stranger for warmth at night.
Yeah.
And what I think is if you're the little spoon, what you're feeling all night is a man's scrotum on your butt cheeks. Like, yeah. Right. You know?
Yeah.
Unless it's so cold where the boys are shrunken in.
You're still feeling the dick. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And like, if you were in that situation, I'd feel threatened. Like a man is spooning my wife right now in the wilderness.
I would be the big spoon. Because no one's putting their junk up against my butt.
Yeah, you say that,
except
but
my husband.
I think if you're cold, you would be like.
And I would never do this.
Especially if you had a really fat partner, you'd be like Clyde, get over here, like smother me.
What happens if you're a woman and you are menstruating?
Man, the bears come then,
right? That's what I was thinking. But miles away.
But I don't know. It's a weird show because of like a lot of the episodes are filmed in Africa, and I feel like.
Dude, that's where they have those fucking crazy ants.
You do see those ants. But like, there's a lot of B-roll, right? Of like, oh, you see like a lion and an alligator. Mm-hmm. But then when it's them, they never see any of these things.
Yeah, no.
And I feel like they do hype up like at nighttime. They're like, oh, what is that? And then they'll show what do they call it? Like night vision.
Yeah.
And it's like of like a lioness like walking by. And I'm like, that's not even like the same like setting. They're in like a totally different setting. Anyway, so I've been watching a lot of that too.
Garbage.
Let's get into it because we got a lot of movies to talk about. But what are we drinking first, Stephanie? What do we got here?
We're drinking eggnog double milkshake IPA from Tired Hands Brewing. It is delicious. This is a leftover from Christmas, from the Christmas times.
Mm. I do got a cool kaiju beer that I'll talk about once we get, when we do the next Cult of Kaiju episode, the full episode.
I think I'll do a fun cocktail for that.
I want to do Tokyo Tea because I saw Jordan made it like a little bit ago, and I was like, that's a good idea. I have to also get a punishment because I made the quiz for Cult of Kaiju, so I have to get some kind of punishment for you because I have a feeling you're going to get all 20 wrong.
Probably.
I don't want to give you something too bad because you're going to get them all wrong, but
I'm going to study a lot.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you are. All you have to do is listen.
Make a spreadsheet.
All you have to do is listen to the episode that we did one time, and it's not that hard. But
okay.
Yeah. Well, I guess without further ado, let's get into the Sodom and Gomorrah guide.
All right. Starting off with RoboDoc from 2023, followed by Satan Wants You, another documentary from 2023. Then Murder at the End of the World, Saltburn, both from 2023. Destroy All Neighbors from 2024. The Passenger, 2023. Dark Angel, The Ascent from 1994. The Creator from 2023. Foe, also 2023. Thanksgiving from 2023. And then ending the show, The Addiction from 1995. I like how we threw a couple 90s movies in there. Most of these movies from last year.
So. I want to get back to like doing a lot more older stuff on Sodom and Gomorrah, but since there has been such a wide gap between the last two, there's a lot of 2023 stuff. Simply because I'm trying to watch a lot of that for our best of that we're going to do on the main with everybody from the podcast in February. We'll probably do that. So a lot of these are from that, and some of these, you know how we do it on Sodom and Gomorrah. Some of these we're going to go into. If we really liked them, you'll be able to tell because we'll talk about them more. And some of these, I'm just going to give you my quick review on them and
just gloss over
them because just so you're aware that these movies are not worth your time.
Yeah,
and that's why they're on the list. They can't all be fucking winners, all right? Just like all you out there listening, you're not all winners. Some of you are really big time losers. Yeah, especially you, Ben. I know you're listening right now. That's a talk about big time losers.
Jesus.
That boy at the top of the list. RoboDoc, man. What do you got for me with that stuff? You want to introduce it a little bit?
Yeah. So it's a mini series. It's available on, is it ScreenBox?
I think it's ScreenBox through Prime.
We watched it. Everybody in this movie.
ScreenBox
is on the documentary.
By the way, ScreenBox has gotten a lot better with their offerings. And it's dirt cheap. So I get it periodically because like I feel like they get cool things on there. I get it. And then I unsubscribe and then wait.
What we do with all of our subscription services.
Pretty much, yeah.
We're like, get Netflix for British Bake Off. Cancel Netflix.
But right now.
Okay.
What? We're right off the bat with RoboDoc. I want to say it before.
Four episodes.
Uh-huh. But what I want to compare it to is maybe you have watched movies that made us RoboCop.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you love that with every fiber of your being, as I did, as Steph did.
Yeah.
This is like that same vibes as that.
Yeah.
Same great editing, same everything is amazing, but stretched out. And they really go into every little nuance of the movie that was not touched on on The Movies That Made Us. So if you like The Movies That Made Us on Netflix, RoboCop, watch this.
Yeah.
And it will just equally blow your mind. Me and Steph loved it so much.
Loved every
Because as of Steph it. Said, they go and get talk to everybody from the movie, almost everybody. Yeah. From like a guy that was just like, maybe he was like a janitor on the set to like, even like the small actors that did like very small roles.
I'd buy that for a dollar.
Oh my God. And I love the, and there's so much lore, so much stuff that I didn't know about that I learned from this documentary, particularly that they talk about a lot of the scenes that were filmed and were changed. Peter Weller's in it. He's
intense, man.
What did you say about Peter Weller? He's like, he looks really old now. Oh. He almost looks like a hairless cat. He has no eyebrows, but he still has a young voice.
Yeah. And he has like age spots all over his skin. And like, his voice is young, is like very youthful, and he's sharp as a fucking, like, I don't even.
Tack.
Exactly.
Sharp as a tack. You wanted to say that, but you did, but then you backed out because you're like, that's lame as shit.
Corny. No,
you should have said sharp as a Bushido blade.
But right? Like he is.
I agree.
Oh man. And listening to him talk.
The best, my favorite thing.
Great, so great.
And we're gonna be all over the place talking about this because, like, I'm just gonna, like, I don't know. It's hard because it's a documentary, right? Like, what do you really talk about? So it kind of treated how, like, how we did the Dio documentary, just touch on things we really liked. But for me, it was a lot of it revolved around Peter Weller and his stories from other people regarding him. Like, you have like the whole Oreo thing,
right? Robo want Oreo,
which you may have seen. There's a lot of people sharing that on Instagram. The Robo want Oreo thing. It was basically like one of the special effects guys was like, going up to where Peter Weller was dressed up like RoboCop, and he had a stack of Oreos in his hand, and Peter Weller saw it. And Peter Weller, when he was in the RoboCop costume, made everybody call him Robo. He wanted to be referred to as Robo.
Right. And when he was Murphy, they had to refer to him as Murphy.
As Murphy, right. Because he's a very big character actor. Yeah. He's always been that way. So anyway, and when they interview Peter Weller, it's the best because he's like, you get in that fucking suit for 10 fucking hours and tell me they're not going to fucking call you Robo. So anyway, he's like, so Robo wants an Oreo. He says to the guy, and the guy's like, no, Peter, Robo can't have an Oreo. Peter can have an Oreo if he wants, but Robo can't have an Oreo. And he's like, Robo wants an Oreo. So the guy took all the Oreos, like all four of them or five of them, and stuffed them in his mouth and just started eating them. And all the crumbs were coming down. And then Peter Weller turned to everybody else that was below him and was screaming in the thing, Robo wants an Oreo. So they had to, and then it cuts to Peter Weller, and Peter Weller's like, I don't know who the fuck made up this goddamn Oreo story. I don't know what the fuck they're talking about. And it's like his manner. And his like hand movements are just so great, but then it cuts to other people and are like, yeah, that did happen.
Yeah. You know who my favorite, okay, I love Peter Weller so much. I mean, God, I've really loved everybody.
Hold on, one more thing about Peter Weller.
Okay.
There's also everybody said, what do they say specifically? Peter was a pussy hound.
Yes.
So apparently he was constantly fucking bitches in his trailer. So like, I forget what the character's name is. He's the black dude who plays like the black,
The villain.
The villain.
Yeah.
One of the in the gang. He does like the most iconic, like laugh and stuff.
Oh yeah. He was great.
But he's like, me and Peter were really good friends. I went over to his trailer one time to like, you know, kick it with him. And I knocked, and all I heard was, and Peter was a pussy hound, man. And then it comes to like Peter Weller, and Peter's like, yeah, you know, I was single and it was a great time to be alive.
Paul Verhoeven.
Oh yes.
Dude, what a fucking character.
And you kind of got that from like The Movies That Made Us doc, but you do see a lot more of them, and you see more sides to them.
And it's also like you get to hear a lot from him. I don't remember like in that show how much he was involved in. Were they interviewing him? Because this, like, I mean, he's telling his side of the story.
I don't know if they interviewed him in that. I think it was indirectly they were talking about him.
So it's great that he's involved in this too. And then when they do all the flashbacks, well, they do like, they tell like how he would just be screaming at people, more blood.
And they do like a lot of like,
they do like
comics.
Like
they'll do have him drawn as like a comic and like yelling at people, and they're dressed as comics. Like, oh, more blood, more blood, more blood.
It's so great.
But it's a testament to like the time, that decade of making movies where like you could get away with anything you wanted to do, basically. Like, oh, we're going to blow up this gas station, and people live like right next to the gas station on the second floor, and they show it blowing up, and like there's people looking out their windows. Uh-huh. And I don't remember the actor's name, the guy who plays Red on That 70s Show. Who plays like the main villain in RoboCop.
Oh, damn.
I'm blanking on his name in RoboCop,
too. Me too.
But anyway, it's him and Ray Wise, and they're outside of like a storefront that gets, they blow it up, the storefront, and they are literally standing, leaning against a car that's parked right out front of this store, and the whole, they blow up the front with the glass and everything, and Ray Wise is like, he's like, the heat was so strong, I could feel it on my face, and I was picking out little pieces of glass from under my skin for like a week after that. That's stuff you can't do now, dude.
Kurtwood Smith.
I mean, Alec Baldwin's getting fucking charged for that.
I know.
It just goes to show you, like, so many things could have went wrong on this set that you would be talking about it way differently.
Right.
But it was just like all these pieces lined up, you know, people... Special effects guys like Rob Bottin did the suit. Peter Weller was cast, you know, and he really brought like this like awesome quality to where he put all this time and
he took it seriously. Energy.
He took it seriously. He thought about it. They had like that speech guy that did all like the talking and like basically like, the processing.
And he had like the movements.
The movements. Yeah, yeah. And you had Phil Tippett doing the stop motion. It's just, you have the soundtrack, the director. I don't think any other director would have made this movie the way it is.
Yeah. No. And they even talk about that. I mean, they talk about that a lot in this documentary, that like it would not have been the same movie without him. Like no one else could have done this movie the way that it needed to be done.
Right. And he had never done anything up until like nothing like this. Was his first American movie. And the only reason he took it was because he wanted to break through into the American cinema. And this was an opportunity he had. He was going to pass on it. And his wife read the script and was like, I think you should do it. You can make this movie awesome. And he fucking did.
And he did. Yeah.
And it was just like, I do talk about a lot how like this movie was possible because of Terminator.
Yeah.
And how it was, Every time they brought to somebody like the script, they're like, RoboCop, this is corny. Like, we're not making this. You're never good. This is never going to be a good movie. RoboCop sounds so dumb. And it does sound
it's a terrible name, but it isn't.
But
actually.
It's not. Right. Exactly. It's like it
sounds cheap. And but then it's like, but it makes sense for this movie.
And it is like one of my favorite 80s movies. Yeah,
it's good.
I mean, like, we haven't done it yet on the podcast, but it is one of my all-time favorite 80s movies.
Yeah, I love
it.
This
is so fucking good. And there's so much to discover, and I don't want to get into like every little detail, but you will learn things like, even like, I don't consider myself a RoboCop aficionado or anything like that, but I learned so much, and I feel like it is worth to just sit down, watch it, and have a great time. And it, like I said, it goes through everything from the actors, the special effects, the music, little side stories. Everybody has a cool story that they share about the filming, from like, you know, little side characters to the big guys. And they do get like all the big names in it. Ray Wise is in it. Good time.
Everybody, the redheaded guy, like all the villains are in it, the gang.
My favorite. So one of my favorite scenes in RoboCop, well, funny is, I can't remember his name, but Red Foreman, the guy who plays like the
Kurtwood Smith. Is that what I just said?
Yeah. He goes into a room and he's like, bitches leave.
Yeah.
And so like, so they keep cutting to like Verhoeven, and Verhoeven's like, talking to the cinematographer, he's talking to the cinematographer, and he's like, well, what do you think the bitches should do now? He's like, well, maybe the bitches, sit there, and then the bitches, what do you want the bitches to do? And the woman that was being called the bitches, she's like, they just kept calling me the bitches, but I didn't mind it because they didn't say it in a mean way. It was very loving. The bitches, I think the bitches should get up now.
She was great. Yeah. As just this little small character.
She's like, yeah, my kids see it. And they're like, oh, yeah, mom, you were the co-core. Oh, man. Yeah, so you should definitely watch it. RoboDoc. Yeah,
highly recommend.
What's next?
Next is the documentary Satan Wants You.
I didn't watch this.
I watched it because it was highly recommended by
Cindy
our
Vega.
Good friend Cindy. And I feel like every time I see her, she's like, did you watch the documentary? And I'm like, no, we haven't watched it yet. And I feel like her disappointment just emanating from her being. And so I can't let her down again.
I feel like I've been disappointing her a lot lately. Like every time I come, and I feel like she's just becoming more and more distant, and I want to hold her close to my nipple again and let her like, you know, suckle upon my Cholula nipples, you know. Jesus. I want to just feed her a little plantain. Like she's like my little baby. And I'm like, we're friends again. See?
So this documentary came out last year. It's pretty short, hour and a half. Right now it's for free on Tubi, or you can rent it on Prime for like $2, $2.99, whatever. But it is, it's about the satanic panic of the 80s.
Gotta love it.
And it really focuses on the book Michelle Remembers. I don't know if you're familiar with this book. It kind of set everything in motion, I guess.
For the 80s?
Yeah, like the satanic panic stuff.
Like, oh God, look at they're sacrificing the dogs in the abandoned house.
So that's what this is really focused on. I mean, they do talk about some other cases that happen like after this book comes out, but it's like really a crazy story. So this woman, Michelle, had been seeing this psychiatrist, it sounds like for like several years. And then she suffered a miscarriage. So she was seeing him after that. And then they started to do some kind of intensive therapy, basically pulling out repressed memories.
Like RoboCop.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, but it's really creepy because they play some of the audio recordings of it. And that is really kind of terrifying because she's like freaking out and screaming and stuff. But like, I mean, ultimately repressed memory thing is like not, it's like bogus.
Pseudoscience.
So she basically claimed that when she was like 5 years old, her mother gave her to a group of Satanists. And then for 14 months, they kept her and they fucking tortured her.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I didn't watch this documentary, but I watched a lot of the interviews with this girl.
With the puffy curly hair.
The only reason I did watch a lot of these documentaries, they're not documentaries that I watched. They're just like the raw footage of the interviews from her. The only reason I watched them was because I was trying to cull a lot of cool Satanic Panic like clips for the show.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for intros and stuff like that. And so I watched a lot of them, not knowing what I was really watching at the time.
Yeah, so she was seeing him and then these stories came out where she was claiming that, like, really crazy stuff.
She was on, like, wasn't she on, a talk show talking about it?
They made so much money off this book. So then they wrote this book together. Meanwhile, I also have to give you background that they were married. He was married with family. She was married. So they write this book together. And like their relationship was really inappropriate, which you find out watching this documentary, where like he would hold her, like they would lay on the floor together. This is while they were doctor patient. Mm. It was really, really not okay.
Sensual.
So then they wrote this book and it was a big hit and they did like the talks. They were from Canada. They did the talk show circuit. They went, I mean, all the big shows through the US, whatever. They toured.
Phil Donahue?
I mean, they did it all.
They better have done Phil.
But so
Maury Povich?
It also became a big thing where like
Jenny Jones.
Other cases started popping up. And then they also there kind of was this market for like, we need to train police and train psychiatrists and psychologists how to identify
Sally Jesse Raphael.
How to identify satanic ritual abuse and these satanic cults, which like weren't a thing.
I love that, like the thing I find so interesting about it, not to interrupt you, is like they believed without a shadow of a doubt like this was happening.
Oh yeah.
And it was embedded in our culture.
Uh-huh.
Like the Satanists all the way to the top.
They believed
when it was like, really just lizard men.
2 million babies a year in the US were sacrificed.
Yeah.
Yes. And then everyone's like, Where are these babies coming
from?
One notices.
Yeah.
2 million babies. But it's interesting. So this documentary is really interesting because they talk about, obviously, and then eventually they get married. They fucking divorce their spouses and they get married. They
must have had a kinky sex, do you think?
I don't know. He was a hardcore Catholic.
That's what I'm saying.
Maybe.
That's what I'm saying. Oh yeah, you were a devil and I caught you.
But they interview like people who, like his ex-wife, she helped investigate this and how it was like bogus. So they like talk to his ex-wife, his daughter. They interview an FBI agent who got involved, and the FBI agent was like, at first I was like open-minded, let's see if, and then he was like, I looked around, I was like, this is not real. You know,
I looked around, I was like, this is not real.
I mean, it's just crazy. It's a good documentary. It's really terrifying because I mean, people were so quick to believe the children. Cause then you had those daycare cases. There was a huge case in Canada that I listened to a podcast. Cindy recommended the podcast, but I had actually already listened to it. It was a case in Canada. Then there was the McMartin preschool case that was in California where they fucking put all these people in prison, saying that they like did all this crazy abuse to these kids. I mean, the kids were
like satanic shit.
They flushed us down the toilet, and we were in tunnels, and we were eating animals, and we were
show me the receipts.
Blood.
Show me the receipts.
Yeah, like these kids had no.
Could you imagine if you could flush a kid down the toilet?
It's just
kids would be fucking doing that on purpose.
It's like, so crazy. And then also,
Mom, I want to go to Dorney Park. Dorney Park at home, and it's a little kid in the toilet.
But and then there's also like, so even more women came out saying that they had these repressed memories and they were abused. And then later on, they realized that it was not real and they sued their psychiatrist. It was like this. It's like so complicated. I mean, it's like all over the place. Yeah. But I highly recommend, if you're interested at all in the Satanic Panic stories of the 80s, early 90s, watch it, because it explains a lot.
Did you ever finish that other not that we're really going to get into it in any detail, but. You ever finished that other documentary about the kids that got sent to the camps?
I did.
Like, what were they called? Like ACT or something?
Wilderness.
Survival things. The wilderness for bad camps. Kids. Oh, yeah. Those things were interesting too.
My cousin was sent to one.
My friend, two of my friends growing up, they got sent to one, but it wasn't hardcore like where like the ones in that documentary were like being woken up at 3 a.m. by strangers and, like, kidnapped. And put in kidnapped. Yeah. And basically to, you know, that was.
I mean, I don't know my
cousin. What was that called? What was that doc called?
Oh, something. Camp Hell or something like that?
Camp Hell, yeah.
It's on Netflix. Yeah, I'm just interested in that because these things still exist. That documentary is interesting because it's really about the beginning of it. It's about the guy who created the first wilderness camps.
Yeah.
But it's a multi-million dollar industry that still exists. And like Paris Hilton came out because she was sent to one.
Oh, God, yeah.
No, but she came out because she was abused. And so she's really trying to shine light on it and like get these places shut down. There's no regulation. Kids are abused. Sexual abuse happens.
But also like she's probably loving that the camera's back on her again.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. No. You know what I'm saying?
No.
But also Satan still prevails in society today. You know, right now while we sit here recording this podcast.
Yeah.
Per second, thousands of babies. They're getting burned.
Okay. Well, no, another thing that's interesting. So towards the end of that documentary,
I could smell them right now. I could smell the smoked hickory babies.
Some of the people who like were there watching this as it was happening, like they were in law enforcement. They're like, it's kind of happening again, right? Pizzagate, QAnon. People are like Alex Jones saying there's satanic cults. People are so willing to believe this stuff.
It's fun. It is fun. I think it's
so dangerous.
It's fun. It's fun if you like. It's fun to be like, okay, I believe a little bit, right? It's like, I think it's fun to believe a little bit, but it's when you're like, you believe so much that it affects your whole life. It's like, oh, it's like God. Sasquatch, right? I think Sasquatch could be real. I believe a little bit.
Right.
Right. Because no. I believe more than a little bit because my daddy said he saw him.
Right.
And my brother said he saw him too. So daddy, brother say they see him more than a little bit.
Okay.
Half a bit. So it's fun. But so yeah, if you take that, you know, Pizzagate a little bit. All right, that's fun. QAnon a little bit, that's fun. Yeah. It could be fun, but
here's the thing. Much. I think it's hard too because I think that the way that these satanic cults and stuff are described, like no, you know. But then you have shit like Jeffrey Epstein's island, where then you're like, yeah, you know. It's like it is real, but it's not the same thing. I don't think, you know.
I know.
I don't know.
And then you see that, and then you see like Stephen Hawking at Epstein Island. Going around the pictures of him on the beach.
I haven't seen it. I try not even to get. I don't want to.
He's like, he's on the beach and he's like in like one of his like Land Rover things, and he couldn't use his electric one because like he kept getting stuck. Right. So he's basically like on like it's like one of those like a radio flyer wagon. He's in it, and there's like naked children pulling them.
Oh my God!
Yeah, and they got boners.
No.
Yeah. And their boners are like as red as the radio flyer.
Oh, stop.
And they're like, he's kind of out of focus because he's in the back.
Yeah.
The focus is on the red kid boners.
Yeah.
In the foreground. It's artistic. Yeah.
Anyway.
So highly recommend.
I do. I recommend it. If you're into like true crime, satanic panic, that kind of stuff. Yes.
True crime.
Worth watching. It gives you some background.
I want to watch this movie. You and I found out about it last week. It's called Cure. I believe it's a Japanese crime supernatural movie from 1997. Everybody says it's amazing.
Okay.
Like Memories of Murder vibes almost.
Oh, okay.
I just bring it up because it's like people have said it's like procedural police.
You know, I love a police procedural.
So I thought of you like immediately. So yeah.
Well, you know, because I just watched three seasons of Slow Horses. British police procedural with Gary Oldman.
You just take away from your beauty when you say stuff like that. I watched Bosch Legacy again on repeat.
I'm also watching Reacher, so whatever. You know?
Oh my God, Steph. And then I'm like, can you just watch this for the podcast? And she's like, I don't know if I have time in betwixt all these fucking procedural police things I'm watching.
I love it.
Jesus Christ. And I'm like, I get it. But like, they're all the same. Like, so how can you just keep watching? It's all like, you got to solve this thing in 45 minutes.
No, it's not like that at all with these shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, so someone, you're calling me a poser though.
I'm saying you don't know what you're talking
fucking
about.
Fucking noob. All right. You can talk about the next one too. Cause I feel like I'm going to take over at a point and.
Wait, what's up next? Saltburn?
No, murder. At the end of the world.
Okay, so this is a series on Hulu from 2023.
Yeah. We're not going to go into it. It's a series, and it's long. Yeah, so we're not going to go into it.
No, I just want to mention some of the cast.
Likes, dislikes. Take it away, Stephanie.
So, cast, Clive Owen, heartthrob.
Ooh, man. He's still looking good.
Yeah.
Still acting real good. And I'm like, you know what he reminds me of? He reminds me of, like, he's like... He's like the pretend that him and John Hamm were brothers.
Yeah.
And then he got sent to foggy London town.
Right.
And John Hamm got sent to America.
Right.
And they grew up. Okay. And then they were reunited. And that's how they look very similar. They have a similar style of acting, but one's very American and one's very, very British.
Yeah,
I love Clive Owen so much.
I said a lot.
And I love John Hamm. And I would love it if they kissed with their tongues and I could watch it.
Yeah. I mean, I love Clive Owen so much. Mm-hmm. He's so great. But anyway, he's great in this.
Clive would be the bottom though. Cause John Hamm, he gotta push, you know, he's gotta push it in.
Joan Chen, if you watched Twin Peaks, she was in Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm.
Britt Marling, who is co-creator, she, her and her partner, whatever, they did the OA, and then they co-created this, and she's the main actress in it. Well, one of the main actresses. The couple that are the main characters are Emma, Darby Hart, played by Emma Corrin, and Bill Farah, played by Harris Dickinson. Mm-hmm. And we've talked about Bill before because he was on that Triangle movie.
Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah, it's Triangle of Sadness.
Yeah, he's fucking the girl for chips.
He's the
chips.
Model. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He was great.
That movie's great. That movie's fucking so great. He's great in this. But their relationship is very good.
Their
chemistry is very good. The acting across the board, fucking stupendous.
It's really good.
Cinematography, stupendous.
So it's basically this story.
It's very reminiscent of Girl with the Dragon Tattoo visually.
Yeah.
Not like, and almost like thematically, but like not, that's kind of where it ends, yeah. You know, not really too much like story wise.
So Darby is, I guess you would call her like an internet sleuth. Her and Bill, they meet and they form a relationship as they're investigating these murders. And then she,
your dirders,
murder your dirder, these murders, and she writes a book, like a true crime novel about it, and that's kind of how you're introduced to her.
If it was more accurate to her character, it would have been a zine, because those fucking,
I don't know, are zines like popular with kids now?
That age group, the
really?
Yeah, the stinky ones, yeah.
They, I mean, I thought zines. That was more like
zine.
The '90s and the early 2000s.
No. Zines have not gone anywhere, Steph. Okay. Zines are still,
dude, I don't know,
thriving amongst the stinky crew,
the hairy armpit crew.
Yeah, you're in the hairy armpit crew.
I am.
I love it.
It's coming up on a year, I think.
But
when I stop shaving my armpits,
I love your hairy armpits.
Great.
Listen, you're fucking, I will say, like, you've always been a sexy bitch, but for whatever reason, when those armpits started to sprout, I was like, elevation has happened.
So then she gets invited to this, I don't know, a retreat that's held by Clive Owen's character. He's like this tech.
Your armpits don't smell, though.
They don't. They don't smell.
They smell beautiful.
Thank you. Yeah. He's like what would you call him? A tech giant, a tech entrepreneur, a tech mogul.
The young guy?
No, Clive Owen.
Oh, Clive Owen. Yeah, yeah. He's basically just like, think of it like him as an Elon Musk.
Right.
He just like has a lot of projects. He's got his fingers involved with a lot of things. He's super rich beyond imagination.
But he's also brilliant.
He's
I don't know.
Maybe not Musk style.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, I don't know. I don't really think there's somebody that could be him.
No.
I think a lot of our,
I think it's a close.
Rich people are dumb.
Yeah.
And they just hire smart people.
I think it's a close.
Bill Gates.
Yeah. Like, I think more, yeah. Bill Gates, but like more hip, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, so he has this retreat where him and his wife, who's Britt Marling's character, they invite a bunch of people, and it's like all people who are involved in tech, like hackers and like, I don't know, whatever. So then like some murders start happening there. They're in Iceland. So I think it's cool because the location is, they're very isolated. Mm-hmm. They're literally, no one is around, could get to them within hours, right? Like when they have that snowstorm, like they're mm-hmm. trapped.
It's cool because they call it murder at the end of the world because it's so isolated, but it's also murder at the end of the world because Clive Owen's whole thing is that the world's ending and they have to prepare for it. So this basically place they're at turns out to be a facility that he's using like AI technology and also these like robots.
I don't know.
He's using robots. There's one point where like he takes them all on a hike to like this overlook and you see, they look down like at this valley and you see all these robot like ant spider things yeah. like building this new facility. They're in like version 1.0 and these spider ant things are building another one. I thought that was going to come into play more where like these robots were going to be involved somehow. Yeah. But that's just kind of like giving you like the backstory of why the facility exists. Right.
Because like the more the show goes on, the more you realize that like it's like a bunker where he lives in this mm-hmm. in this retreat, and like,
and it's always
he's preparing for the end of the world.
It does kind of like you get your toes wet slowly with the AI thing, because when she gets recruited initially to go to this event, it's like this weird AI thing where it's like what do you call it?
The guy who like talks to her.
Yeah. Right. I can't think of what, augmented reality almost, where like, you know, you put on these glasses and you look at something and then you could see like this inserted person that's not, doesn't really exist. It's like a hologram, but it's in your world.
Right. I thought all of that
Apple Vision exists, really cool. That's going to be happening now. But anyway, yeah, they just get kind of, and it builds and builds and builds to where you see this AI is so integrated into this facility that she goes and visits.
Yeah.
And where a lot of these murders start happening, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I don't want to give...
Then you kind of see how everybody's stories are kind of interwoven in some way. So you're like, it's like a whodunit. So you're trying to figure out who's the murderer. I won't spoil it for you. But I will say, with movies, and I was kind of saying this to Steph, like with shows like this, rather, there's such an investment because it's like many episodes, many hours of investment. So for me, at least... The payoff is always, I always want there to be more than I'm given, because I feel like I've invested so much and I love it. And I really loved it. Oh, I love the show so much up until the last two episodes when I kind of like figured out where it was going. And I was like, I hope they don't do what I think they're doing. And they kind of did.
Yeah.
And it kind of let me down.
Yeah.
But I didn't hate the show because of that, because I feel like there were so many other really cool parts. I really liked how like they explore like the fascination with like serial killers now and stuff like that. And how it's kind of current with what's going on in the world today. And, you know, kind of, it's like a jab at like, you know, big tech and people who own everything and people who are the master puppeteers of the world. So there's a lot of cool stuff in there, but I don't think like the payoff at the end, I don't want to call it a twist because it really wasn't a twist, but I think it was kind of trying to feel like a twist.
Yeah.
That didn't pay off for me.
No, and I agree with you. I really loved it. I was disappointed by the ending too, because I was like, oh, really? You know, but it's fine because I like you. I like so many other aspects of it. I liked all the characters. What I really liked the most was Darby and Bill's relationship when they do the flashbacks and they're investigating these murders.
The flashbacks are really good.
They're like their love story and then kind of how that falls apart. And then I like her evolution of as a character over the show, where she's really not in touch with her emotions. And then in the end, she really, it's like when Bill says to her, I'll have to die for you to love me. And then at the end, you're like, yeah.
That's why I say it to Steph all the time. Do I have to die for you to love me?
I mean, it's an excellent show and I highly recommend it. So everyone should check it out.
All right. Now let's get into this juicy. Yeah.
Oh my God. Hey, what's the next one up?
Saltburn.
Oh,
God.
My God.
Damn.
Yeah.
Barry Cohagen, give these people ale.
So I'm going to read the, I'll read the synopsis.
What's his name? Barry what?
Barry Cohagen? Keegan?
I like
He's
to call,
Irish.
I like to I call know. Him Barry Cohagen.
I like Cohagen too.
He has, I just want to say right off the bat, he has the physique of like if a baby was a bodybuilder. He looks like a baby that just got really, really, really fucking ripped. Yeah. Or he looks like a lesbian with like a hornet nest for an ass.
Yeah.
look at his face. He kind of looks like a lesbian. Like God. I want to kiss that lesbian.
With a hornet ass.
Like a beehive ass.
I want to see who this director. So the director is Emerald Fennell.
I hate Fennell. Don't cook with Fennell for me.
What did she do? Oh, she did Promising Young Woman.
Yeah, it was okay. This is like this movie.
Wait, and did she direct? Yes, she did.
This movie, Promising Young, is leaps and bounds ahead of Promising Young Woman.
We liked the beginning of that, and then we were like,
I didn't hate Promising Young Woman. I think this movie.
Oh, it's yeah.
This movie is like has an identity to it. Where Promising Young Woman kind of felt like something I've seen before. This is like nothing I've ever seen. Has its own style.
Yeah.
And
So are we
and going I loved with, it and it's a 10.
Are we going with Cohagen? Barry Cohagen?
Yeah, Barry Cohagen.
So
you gotta give these people ale because your ass so your gyat is so juicy. Your fucking gyat, gyat.
So yeah, so he's in it. Jacob Elordi plays Felix. Rosamund Pike is amazing.
Rosamunda Pike is the stepmom that I wish molested me when I was a child. Oh, can I just say that? Because she she's our age. I think she's like two years older than us.
Yeah.
She looks a little older, but I think that's intentional in this movie where they tried to make her look a little bit older.
Like, yeah. Like
she is fucking has this. How do I want to say it?
Je ne sais quoi.
No, she has like this
presence,
understood, but understated sexuality.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Where I'm just like, she don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
She could be fucking watching. Just looking out a window and I'm like, I'm so horny.
Yeah.
Like she's just gorgeous. She's super sexy. She's like one of these women that doesn't have to do much for me to just be entranced by her. And I didn't realize that because when I watched Wheel of Time, like I didn't like that show at all. Yeah, so I feel like it just like, it wasn't sucking me in, but I think this is, I know I've seen her in other things.
Gone Girl.
Oh yeah. Gone Girl. Yeah. Okay. But for whatever reason, this is where like I was like she was a witch and she was like casting her spell on me and I was just like and I couldn't stop just thinking about her this movie.
I get it because she every scene she's in, man, it's just her.
I really wanted to have a clap and cheek session with like her and Barry in it, which I thought was going to happen at some point, but it didn't.
Richard Grant. So good.
I fucking love Richard Grant so much. And the fact that like he's in this movie, which I didn't expect.
Yeah.
He is so weird.
He's so weird.
Everybody's weird in this movie, but everybody has like their own unique weirdness. Mm-hmm. And I love his, I don't know if he had anything to do with like how he decided to do that character, but if it was his decisions, I love what he did with it.
Yeah.
He looks like a crazy person. His hair looks crazy.
He's like disheveled always.
He does look disheveled. And I just want to say, because I talk about it all the time, but if you have never seen How to Get Ahead in Advertising, he is a tour de force. He's the main actor in it. It's one of me and Steph's favorite movies. One of my old good friends, Antoinette, told me to watch that years ago, and I never heard of it. And I watched it, and it blew my mind. And I still feel like nobody talks about How to Get Ahead in Advertising. And it's basically like if the people who did Monty Python directed Basket Case. Is fucking so good. So good. And the humor, British humor, is spot on. Check it out.
Yeah. I think, and then the other person I want to mention.
Now back to Hornet ass.
She's not in it for very long, but Carrie Mulligan. She plays a weird fucking character.
Yeah.
Everybody's weird. Everybody's weird, yeah.
And Felix, who's the actor that plays Felix?
Jacob Elordi. What is he from? I feel like he was in...
He looks like a...
Euphoria.
Yeah.
He was in Euphoria.
That's why I was saying, because they'd be fucking in Euphoria.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. This movie. I don't even know how to begin. So, I will say I kind of... This isn't for me, okay? Do you want to say anything else?
Well, do you want me to read the synopsis?
Sure.
A student at Oxford University finds himself drawn into the world of a charming and aristocratic classmate who invites him to his eccentric family's sprawling estate for a summer never to be forgotten.
True that.
Yeah.
I wish I could get sucked into this world. For sure. Right? I wish I could be sucked into this world. But I wouldn't be drinking no bathwater like he did.
Oh, no.
Unless it was Rosamunda Pike's pussy juice water.
And I would keep saying Rosamunda.
I don't know. I love it. From Munda. I would eat the cheese from under her butt. Now, for me, this movie, it drew me in immediately.
Yeah.
Cinematography, settings were so cool. Characters were amazing. I was like in it, like literally like the first like 10 minutes, 15 minutes. I turned to Steph and I was like, I'm fucking into this shit. And that feeling never went away watching the movie. But for me, it's like, I kind of said to Steph where I thought the movie was going, like maybe, like whatever, like 30 minutes in or whatever. I was like, I think this is what's happening, whatever. But that didn't ruin it for me when it ended up coming true, because it was like the journey of weirdness that I wanted, and it just never stopped. And I fucking really, really loved it. I will say the ending kind of was like felt a little bit flat for me, a little bit.
Because it felt a little rushed, didn't
the ending,
it?
Yeah, because I feel like the movie spends a lot of time building.
Yeah, and then they wrap it up very quickly.
It's like a great build. Yeah. It's like almost a flawless build. And I feel like they should have like let the steam out a little bit slower and had it drawn out a little bit more, maybe like 10 or 15 minutes longer, do some extra things in there, and it would have been a perfect movie for me. For whatever reason, I'm not saying this movie reminded me of A Clockwork Orange, but it has like the kind of slow, weird build and feeling when I watched Clockwork Orange for the first time of just like what am I watching?
Right.
This is weird. The characters are all, like, you know, like, cause like when you're watching Clockwork Orange, it's Alex. He's coming into contact with just weird character after weird character. His friends are weird. His friends' friends are weird. When he robs people, they're fucking weird.
Yeah.
And his parents are weird. It's just like, it gave me that feeling of Clockwork Orange, like very, very, very perfectly. And,
because you're like, does anyone actually live this way and behave this way?
Right. Like, and it's always, and you're all watching, you're like, and you're waiting for someone to be like, this is an act.
Right.
Where in the end, the only person that has been really acting has been Barry.
Right.
Which is very, very strange because like you're watching it and you're thinking everybody's putting on this facade, but really the only one that's been putting on a facade is Barry. Everybody else is fucking weird like that. Right. Like Rosamunda Pike was weird.
Yeah. Well, that whole family.
Right.
Right. And I think that.
But not only that family. Remember the fucking kid? The kid that calls him a bootlicker?
Friend. Yes.
That kid's fucking amazing. Yeah. He says so much funny shit. Like, oh, we're the nerds. You have to sit with me. And then like eventually he starts hanging out with them and he's like, you fucking bootlicker. Oh my God. So what were your, what do you want to like kind of say about it?
I just wanted to say that, I think I agree with you. Like, I feel like it drew me in right away and it was like a slow, you knew the weirdness was coming and it was slow to get there. But when it did happen, I think that they did a really great job of kind of keeping you guessing because you were like, is it Oliver who's the fucking creep, or is it this entire family and all their weirdo rich friends that come over?
Yeah.
And everyone was a little bit of a creep, but in the end, ultimate creep.
Yeah. And I think the biggest problem I had with the ending was how they kind of flashed back. I think the movie was more mature than I think the movie was better than doing the flashback ending where it was like, this is what happened for real. You didn't need to do that. That kind of like took away from like the greatness and subtlety of your movie where you're like, let me spoon feed you what happened now. You should have left it more like obtuse.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I also like
left it more loose.
I like that because it really gave you, because even in the end, I was like, is he getting weirder and bolder because he's at this house? But in the end you're like, no, he's fucking, this shit was
but
planned.
You don't need that. But here's the thing, like, you don't need that scene in there if you're gonna show him laying on top of Rosamund Pike and cutting her off oxygen.
That's
already implied, so you don't need that. Take that out. Like, you know, it was just weird. Like, I don't need to know that you faked your flat, like you made him have a flat tire
to
perpetuate the whole story forward.
No, I get it.
It's just weird. And I felt like the movie was smarter than that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like a moment where I was like, it wasn't as smart as it thought it was, kind of. But I still loved it.
Love the nude dance sequence at the end?
Yeah, because that fucking bodybuilding baby body. Bodybuilding baby body. Just fucking running around the house.
Oh, man.
Big ass.
I love that part. I mean, it's weird, right? But you're like into it because you're like also.
Apparently he made everybody like leave the set so he could really like live
get
in
into
the,
it. Yeah. He was into it. I mean, he was really dancing.
He was into the whole movie. Like, he's a weird actor. You saw him in tons of other movies.
Remember he was in the movie we watched.
Colin Farrell.
With Colin Farrell and Mad-Eye Moody.
Yeah.
He was like the kid who's like drinking and his dad has sex with him or something.
He has a very unique look about him.
He does, yeah.
And very, like very almost iconic, and like he's very memorable.
Yeah.
And he's always a good actor, but he never had like a lead role. So it was really cool to see him like steer the boat in this movie.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved every second of it. And,
But I think I saw somewhere
he also did the grave scene.
Yeah, he did that. He came up with that.
Fucking the grave.
Good job.
It added to the weirdness.
It did.
Well, because all the scenes are weird too. And like, I feel like if he was just laying on top of that grave, it wouldn't have been the weird you needed. You needed to see the necromantic, I'm going to fuck this dirt.
Yeah.
You know, essentially fuck dirt for like 5 minute scene uncut. Because like when he's fingering her and he's got blood on his hand, and he's eating her pussy and he's got blood on his mouth and then he's drinking the fucking cum water. Bath water. It's just weird after weird after weird. Yeah,
it is.
But yeah, I didn't need the reveal that he also poisoned Felix's drink, and yeah, that stuff would just, that fell flat for me.
Well, that was also very much, you assume that that's what happened.
Exactly. You know, that's why I felt like you didn't need it. But it didn't detract from my love of the movie. I fucking loved it. That was my favorite movie of 2023.
It was really good.
Not that 2023 had a lot of fucking heavy hitters, but that was it for me, man. And I wouldn't say that's a fucking,
than Godzilla minus zero. I mean, minus one,
minus zero,
minus one.
Yeah, I don't know. It's hard. That's not really, right? They're not really either horror movies, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I would put one for one reason and one for the other. If I'm being true to myself, minus one.
Yeah.
But
minus
then,
zero. Yeah, minus one. I keep wanting to say minus zero. It's minus zero. Not possible in mathematics.
Yeah, minus one.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I have to really think about what else came out last year, but I mean, this is one of my top movies. I really, it was great.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anything else I got to say. Nothing, bro.
Yeah, watch it.
It's kind of flawless to me. It's just so many sexy butts in it too, man. Abs.
Uh-huh.
Just like a movie of abs.
Abs and sweaty abs.
Fucking babies drinking protein, doing creatine, dancing with their turnip noses around.
Oh my God.
Man, I don't know. This is great. All right, let's talk about a movie that was not so great. Destroy All Neighbors from 2024.
Yeah. This was directed by Josh Forbes. What did Josh Forbes do? Let's see.
He
did a Carly Rae Jepsen Christmas music video.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I don't know. Contracted Phase 2.
Oh, yeah, that movie was terrible.
He did a lot of music videos. Well, good.
It shows. The main dude I know is from like Mystery Science Theater, like the reboot.
Yeah, he's like a comedian or something, right?
I never liked the reboot of Mystery Science Theater.
Jonah Ray, that's his name.
I don't like Jonah Ray. I'm just going to say it. I don't like him. I don't think he can act to save his life.
Yeah.
I don't think his acting was good in this movie at all. And some people say, well, it's supposed to be weird. It's supposed to be awkward. It's supposed to be quirky. Fine. His acting still sucked. But I will say the best part of the movie was Vlad.
Yeah.
And who is the fuck? What's his name? Alex?
Alex Winter.
Alex Winter. He's the fucking blonde vampire, Lust Boys.
Yeah.
He's
Bill and Ted.
He's fucking amazing. He makes what little enjoyment I had from this movie was him. And I think this movie has cult classic written on it.
Yeah.
Almost. I think like it needed to be in the vein. I mean, Steph, we're talking about when we're watching it. Like it needed to be more weird, like Greasy Strangler.
Yeah.
It needed to really double down on the weird. And it was kind of treading this line where it was like, oh, I'm going to be a little weird now. Oh, now I'm going to be serious with this relationship thing. I'm going to be a little weird now. Okay, now. And it never really, like, when you watch A Greasy Strangler, it doesn't make sense. But then it does make sense, right? Like, there's, like, this overarching plot that's kind of happening with, like, the Greasy Strangler's coming, right?
Yeah.
This movie, I turned to Steph at one point, and I was like, I don't really even know what the story is with this movie. Right. Like, what is... Is he just crazy? Is he being possessed? Is this all in his head? Is there some kind of like satanic possession taking place? I don't understand what.
Right.
Who's the other actress that's in it? Karate Kid's mom.
Oh yeah. I was like, this, her fucking voice is so familiar. Yeah. So the woman who lives, it's like his, what was that called? Like your apartment manager?
The landlord.
Yeah, landlord.
But she also lives there.
Yeah, she's the actress who played Ralph Macchio's mom.
Yeah, she's...
Her voice is very...
Once you said that, I was like, oh God, I would have never picked her out. But yeah, once you said that, yep, totally. And what was I going to talk about? Oh, the special effects, practical special effects are amazing.
Yeah,
amazing. I got like a great corpse, Return of the Living Dead style.
Yes,
it's talking. Gabe Bartolos did that. He is responsible for so many awesome special effects, namely Spookies.
Yeah.
But that guy's list is super long. He did Skin Deep, which is, if you ever saw Skin Deep, watch Skin Deep because it is fucking amazing. It's got Warwick Davis and he plays a character called Plates. And all he does is, you guessed it, throws plates. Remember when I made you
watch
Skin Deep?
Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like throwing plates at people. He's got like a little backpack. Full of plates.
Where do you get this supply of plates?
Yeah, I don't know. Dollar store. Family Dollar.
The Restaurant Depot.
Restaurant Depot. Yeah, he probably goes there all the time.
Well, I think the other thing is we also, like, we said, we looked at each other and we were like, this movie is called Destroy All Neighbors. That leads you to believe there's going to be a lot of neighbor killing happening. That's not really what happens.
No, it's not at all. He kills... He kills his landlord.
No, he doesn't. She does it herself.
Oh, that's right. He kills Vlad.
Yeah.
Which Vlad, I thought was going to end up being a vampire or something because his name's Vlad. I thought there was going to be more of like a backstory on him. He kills his one neighbor with that was like the pig guy.
Yeah.
But then
they're all like
the other one is like a homeless guy he kills in the street. So yeah, the story makes it goes to like the movie itself. It doesn't make a lot of sense, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with a movie making no sense. All right. I love Street Trash. It's just about bums. There's no real story there, but it's like, but it's fun events that happen.
Yeah.
And the fun events were just too stretched out in this. Like there's weird scenes where he's like in the studio that are trying to be funny and they're not really, the jokes are landing
it's
flat.
It's all about prog rock also.
Which and is like, cool. I like that.
That's like a really nerdy thing though. But I feel like a lot of people are like, I don't even know what prog rock is. So maybe I'm not going to
I think
get
most
this.
People know what prog rock is. And no, I think you're in the, I think you're.
I know what prog rock is, kind of.
Steph's like, I know who Sam Smith is.
Yeah, I don't know. We were kind of bored. And this movie's only an hour and 25 minutes.
Right. I was bored. Like, me and Steph looked at each other the first 10 minutes. I was like, this movie's awesome.
It started off really fun.
And then it like 20 minutes in, I was like, this is fucking dragging ass, dude.
Yeah.
And mostly it's because Jonah Hill, whatever the fuck his name is.
Jonah Ray?
Yeah, I don't like him, dude. I just, like, I find him obnoxious, stupid. When he took over Mystery Science Theater, I was like, this guy is definitively not the business.
Right.
I did not enjoy him at all.
Yeah.
But with all that said, if you go watch it for free on Shudder, which we did, I will say check it out because there's great special effects in there. And you know what it's definitely not? Onyx the Fortuitous, which is the worst fucking movie you could ever watch in your life.
People love it though.
Onyx the Fortuitous and the Talisman of Souls, go kill yourself. That's what I'm gonna say right now. If you like that movie, go kill yourself. Oh, Jesus God. Christ, because you're part of the problem. This movie compared to Onyx the Fortuitous, Destroy All Neighbors was a fucking Oscar award winning Martin Scorsese jam.
Jesus.
Okay. I'm doing the next couple movies. I don't want to fly through these fairly quickly because I want to shout out my boy, Anthony Trevino, for leading me astray yet again, my son.
Not to be trusted.
He told me before, Jessup, you know something? Talk to me. It is a spiritual successor to It Follows. Turns out that was a lie. Then I see him because I follow him. I follow him and I see his post quite a bit. I see him share The Passenger. Pull up The Passenger, Steph. Who is the actor? If Matt Suter's listening to this right now, or Matt Gervais's listening to this, or Allison's listening to this,
somebody
tell the person that's not listening to this that Matt Suter looks like, what's the actor's name?
Oh my God, hold on. My internet's not working.
He looks exactly like this motherfucker. It bothers me. It bothers me in such a way.
Oh my God.
Anyway, while that's loading and taking 60 years,
It's having a meltdown.
Anthony Trevino said this movie, The Passenger from 2023, is the best. Okay. As my memory recalls, he gave it 4 out of 5 stars.
He did give it a very high
on
rating.
Letterboxd. Why did you do that to me? Why did you falsify documents on Instagram for 4 out of 5 stars? I don't understand. Tell me what is 4 out of 5 stars about this movie.
Kyle Gallner.
You would not know him from a lot of movies. What movies is he in?
His face is very recognizable.
Because it's Matt Suter.
He was in, let's see, Mother May I, Smile, What Comes Around, Scream, The Catch, Ghost of War.
Oh, Scream, the new Scream.
Interrogation.
Right, new Scream?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. New Scream, the reboot, re-scream with Jenna Ortega. All right.
From 2022.
Yeah. Giddy up. Yeah, okay. I don't know why this movie is great. I think it starts off with the cool idea where it's going to be like a character study of like this guy that sees like this nerdy kid being picked on by society and he wants to show him to stick up for himself. But the movie goes nowhere, does nothing. It's trying to be almost like Oliver Stone's Natural Born Killers, but without any of the coolness, any of the slickness,
any of the soundtrack.
No soundtrack to speak of. Do we got Dr. Dre on this motherfucking soundtrack? Hell nah. To the nah nah. Do we got Trent? Should we got Trent Reznor on this? No fucking way. We got nothing. But it's basically about this guy who works at a burger shop with this other guy who's kind of nerdy, borderline slow, borderline hard R. Who am I to say? I don't know.
Played by Johnny Berchtold.
And he's getting picked on, so he don't like it. Matt Suter don't like it, so he blows the fucking people's brains out and kills everybody and takes him on the ride of his life. And he's like, you need to figure out stuff and why you're so quiet and why you let people walk all over you. But there's no fucking... I didn't see Robert Downey Jr. in this movie like I did in fucking Natural Born Killers. I didn't see Rodney Dangerfield in this movie like Natural Born Killers. Anthony Trevino. I want you, APA format, to write me a fucking letter defending The Passenger from 2023. And listen, I know I didn't talk about it. I know I just kind of said some shit about it. That's all I'm going to say. Because really, this was an attack at Anthony Trevino, and that's all I wanted to do. Next movie on the docket.
What's your next?
Any questions?
No. I saw like 5 minutes of it, and that's all I needed to watch.
Man, you lucked out. Truly, you lucked out.
What's your next? Dark Angel the Ascent?
Dark Angel 94? The Ascent, 1994. Yo, did you pull this movie up?
Is this it?
Who is this? Yeah. Okay. Tell me who the redhead is, the main actress, Victoria, and Veronica. Veronica is in it.
Angela Featherstone.
She is a wet dream come true in this movie. She is topless. She has red hair. She is sexy deliciousness. But the reason you want to watch this movie is it is fucking stupid as shit.
She was in The Wedding Singer.
Yeah, I think she
was in Con Air. I don't know.
She was in many things. She's like, I think she's from Nova Scotia.
Oh, okay.
Which makes me want to go to Nova Scotia even more and find her. But yeah, this is a 1994 movie, 90s full moon movie. So you know what the pedigree you're dealing with here, Puppet Master and such. It's one of those full moon movies where like they made it for nothing. They made it in like Romania or something. So anytime they're on the street, it's Yorgi Porg paradise where like, it's just like, you know, a police car pulls up and it's American speaking police officers, but they're in the most Yorgi Porgy police vehicle ever that says Polakia or something on it. And they're supposed to be the police.
Wait, real quick. The director is Linda Hassani. She is a first generation American of Swiss Iranian descent. Okay. Baltimore, Maryland. Do you want to know what she directed?
Yes.
She directed 3 episodes of Silk Stockings.
Oh, John's shooting right now. This movie is very sexy.
Like other horror shit too. But then also it looks like maybe she did some Skinamax, something called Inside Out and Inside Out 2.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
This movie is very Skinamax. Oh, like yeah. You're waiting for the penetration to happen. It doesn't happen. But like it's almost always gonna be like penetration, but it never happens.
Right.
So anyway, the story goes that she's a demon in hell, which hell to them is just like basically like someone's like
Philadelphia.
It's someone's basement with like dirty bricks.
Right, okay.
And like there's like a fire in the corner.
Is it like maybe a chain on the wall?
And she's
too?
Like, oh, you know, I don't like how we do things in hell where we just beat people and we put hot typewriter icons on their head because that's what they do. Like they mark people, but it's like a typewriter. And when the person when it goes up, the typewriter like things are hot. So when they push like when they put the person's name in, it's like J O H N. It's like and they mark their foreheads.
Is it like super tiny or is it like big?
You know, it's a little typewriter and they have to walk up really close to it.
Oh my God. So stupid. Yeah.
And when the movie starts, I knew I was going to love it because when they're panning through hell or whatever, it's like these guys, they're on their hands and knees and they're looking up at the camera and they have stockings over their faces.
Oh yeah.
And they're doing the scream thing where they're like, and they're shaking really fast.
Wait, the screaming Saul?
Saw, that's what I meant. Yeah, Saw, yeah, 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 yeah. Like Saw, like when they do the fast, like,
the fast shake.
Like Saw, the fast shake, yeah. So she's like, I don't like the way we do things here, whatever. I want to go to Earth. So she goes to Earth. And when she goes to Earth, it's downtown Romania. And she's and she's naked. And she's buck-ass naked, right? And she's walking on the streets. And all these Romanian, like, troglodytes are looking at her with, like, penciled in eyebrows. And she's just walking really slow. And everybody's like, oh, she's naked. But her dog comes with her. Her dog's name is Hellraiser.
Oh, what kind of dog is it?
A German Shepherd.
Okay.
And he gets her some clothes. And cut to a doctor trying to bring people back to life in the ER,
like flatliners.
Yeah. And he's kind of weird. He's weirdly sexy looking, like very like sexual in like a hard R way. And so he gets done his shift at the ER and he's like looking out the window or whatever. And he looks out the window and she's down there. Veronica's down there and they're staring at each other, and they're staring at each other for so long that she gets run over by a car. So he gets her, and he like brings her into the hospital and treats or whatever. And while she's unconscious, the nurse is like, "We keep bringing her into a different room, and it keeps getting really cold no matter how many heaters we put in there." And he's like, "Oh, that's kind of weird." And she's like, "No, you know what's weirder? Look at this." And she takes the covers off of her legs, and she's like, and the nurse is like, "She has the biggest feet I've ever seen on any female, and this bitch has giant fucking Shaq shoes on, man. Like, just
oh my God.
Huge bitch feet, man." And basically what happens is she becomes a vigilante. She wants to protect humans and kill the bad guys. And when she kills the bad guys, she cooks the meat and feeds it to the doctor, who she gets into a sexual relationship with. And also her dog Thor eats the innards too.
Well, she renamed him?
No, Hellraiser. I made Thor. I don't know why I said Thor. I just thought that was cool too.
I was so confused.
Hellraiser, yeah. Feeds Hellraiser the guts too. And then there's a club scene where he's like, "We should go out on the night and have a good time." And she's like, "That's cool. I made myself an outfit out of your couch, out of your latex couch." And she looks fucking delicious. She looks like a real snack. And they go out to the club and they get into it with somebody, and she gets stabbed in the abdomen. And so they have to go home. And he's like, "I gotta sew you up. We need to take you to the hospital." She's like, "I don't feel pain. I'm a demon." And she's like, "I'm gonna sew this up." And she's like, "You could sew it up." So he sews it up. And then she's like, "I wanna have sex with you." Because they went to a movie, and she wanted to go out to this movie, and it was a porn movie. So they're sitting there watching a porn movie, and it's just people coming in the movie theater. And so they fuck. And then at the end,
but like, it's not a steamy sex scene, or is it?
It's not really that steamy, no. And then at the end, she takes down the corrupt mayor and goes back to hell. And you think all is done, and he's sleeping in his bed, and the TV turns to static, and she comes out of the TV as a sexy devil mistress in black lingerie. And he says, "That's what the doctor ordered." And then they kiss, and that's it. And that's
it. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's fucking great.
So great.
Yeah, that movie's awesome. 1994. Dark Angel the Ascent, super stupid, super enjoyable, free on Tubi.
Oh my God.
Check it out, to be sure.
Yeah.
Next up, Steph didn't watch this, and then I'm going to get into a movie. I'll do two more, and then you can talk about Thanksgiving. Okay. I'm going to go through these fast. The Creator.
Oh, I thought Foe was next. The Creator?
We'll do Creator now.
Okay.
Because it's going to be fast. Creator was cool sci-fi movie, terrible story. I enjoyed the ride because I liked the world building that was in it.
Gareth Edwards?
Gareth Edwards, yep.
Director?
As we talked about.
Oh, John David Washington.
I think Gareth Edwards, here's the thing, like, he did that movie Monsters. You know, it was one of his first movies. It was really cool because it was like lo-fi sci-fi. I think he just tries to overreach now that he has money to do movies. And he's just, the special effects in this are really, really, really fucking cool. It reminds me of, what's his name that did District 9 and everything? I can't remember the director's name.
I can't think of his name either.
Off the top of my head, I don't know
why. I can only think of Charlton Copley.
Yeah, Charlton Copley. The special effects are like on that level. They're really cool. It's basically about like AI taking over, and America basically bans AI because AI made a bomb go off in I think San Francisco that destroyed San Francisco. Okay. So they ban AI, but over in like Asia, they don't ban AI. And so like, it's basically like the Americans build like this huge floating, I don't want to say like a fortress, but it's basically, it looks like a floating T, and it's basically just like a thing that just glides through the air, and then it shoots bombs down, just destroys whatever it wants. It's really cool and like ominous looking, and there's really cool, like tactical fighting in it with the robots. The robots look so fucking badass. But the story itself is basically about like the coming of a new messiah that's basically like a new iteration of AI that can control all technology.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like a little kid. So there's all this like cool, like moral stuff going on with the main character who has like a history and everything. I would say definitely check it out. I kind of want you to watch it because, like I said, the special effects in it are really cool, but the story is just kind of not there. Yeah. But there's a lot of cool stuff visually to check out.
That actor is really great too. He was in Tenet.
Yeah.
And Black Klansman.
Yeah. No, he's awesome.
Isn't he Denzel Washington's son?
He's great in it. Yeah.
Hot like his dad.
Yeah, he does have that hot steaminess. Not like my bodybuilding baby boy, Barry. Not like him, but he's a close second. Ain't no one got that bodybuilding baby body also, like my boy
Ken,
Barry.
Ken Watanabe is in it.
Yeah.
He's in a ton of shit.
Yeah, there's a lot of people you would probably recognize in it. Yeah, cool. I like movies Godzilla. That do this world building thing where it's like technology that's not too far in the future where you could see happening.
Yeah.
Vehicles and structures and airplanes and just cool things like that. Which leads me to the next movie I want to talk about.
Wait, real quick. Isn't Ken Watanabe the guy in Godzilla King of the Monsters?
Yes.
Who takes the
yes.
bomb down and he kills himself, but he's the awakens one, Godzilla.
He's the one that's like in charge of Monarch.
He repowers him with
and then
the bomb.
TV show came out and it was a hard pass.
Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So yeah, then this leads me to the next movie I'm going to talk about. Foe.
Yeah.
2023. Heard mixed things about this movie. Really ended up enjoying it myself. And for those of you who are interested in watching it, kind of is like a very low budget sci-fi movie that is done pretty damn well, I would say, for my tastes. I really, really loved it. I wasn't bored one time. However, it is a very slow build of a movie. Kind of reminds me of other sci-fi movies I enjoyed. Pace-wise, like Vesper. I talked about that. I don't think you ever watched it. Yeah. I loved it. Prospect.
Oh, Prospect.
Another low budget movie before Pedro Pascal just invaded every you know,
orifice of every place
just,
in the world.
He's just jamming his dick in every hole now. You just can't escape him. Everywhere you turn a corner, it's Pedro Pascal trying to fuck you in any hole that's available. Movies like that. This is also very reminiscent story-wise, and I see people giving it a lot of flack, although they were probably made at the same time, and the Black Mirror episode just happened to coincide earlier than this movie came out. The episode with the kid from Breaking Bad, what's his name?
Aaron Paul,
and who was in it? Josh Hartnett? Was it Josh Hartnett that was in an episode with him?
Oh, yeah, that, the
where they're
hole.
Basically
yeah, yeah.
like in space, and then they come down to inhabit the bodies of like these like vessels, you know? So it's kind of that idea, but I think it's exploring things differently, and it's also dealing with AI in this movie. So the story in this is basically it's like it takes place in the not too distant future, which I thought was pretty cool. 2065 or something like that. Water has become like increasingly scarce. They're starting to build like communities in like outer space. And for rich people, basically, and down on Earth, they build like these farms and basically ship the products up to like these stations that are orbiting around Earth. And it's basically only like poor people down there because you can't live down there. You can't have a long life down there. It's very polluted. The air is terrible, blah, 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 blah. So it's this couple, very small cast in this, only like three people. It's this couple you meet, the girl from Lady Bird. Yeah, I don't remember her name.
I can't pronounce it. It's an Irish name. I want to say it's like Shorsha something.
Shorsha.
Look, this is that's how it's spelled, but it's not pronounced the way it looks.
Oh. Ronan, yeah.
Yeah.
And then her husband, what's that actor's name?
Paul Mescal.
Okay, I'm just going to say right off the bat. Their chemistry makes this movie what it is. It's fucking
phenomenal.
Wait, is that her
husband? That guy's her husband.
Yes. Right?
Yeah, Paul Mescal.
They live on this farm and they're struggling to survive. And you kind of get the feeling that their marriage is kind of like reaching like an end point due to their struggles and, you know, various other things that are going on. And one night, this guy appears in like this futuristic car outside their house. It's what's his name? Terrence.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know that actor, but he's great in it too. It's a black guy.
Yeah. I don't recognize him. Aaron Pierre is his name.
He comes, inside and he's like, basically like, yeah, you've been recruited to join,
guess what he was in? I'm sorry to cut you off. He was in Old. He played mid-sized sedan. Rapper.
He must've been jacked in that then. Cause it doesn't really look that much like
him. He was huge in that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He looks skinny in this. You've been selected to join one of our communities and in outer space, whatever, blah, blah, blah. We're developing a new community, blah, 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 this, that, and the other thing. And they're like, oh, well, we wouldn't do good in you know, outer space. We get like, she gets motion sickness. And he's like, oh, well, I'm just talking to you. You're the only one that's been selected. The husband, she has to stay back.
That's fucked up.
And he's like, well, I don't want to do it. And he's like, well, if you don't do it, you're going to be considered like a traitor. and we're going to just like burn your farm to the ground.
Nice.
More or less. So eventually they have to come to like this realization where they have to do this thing. And he leaves. He says, think about it. I'll come back. So he comes back and he's like, well, don't worry. Your wife's not going to be alone. We're basically, I'm going to stay here for a week and study you. And I'm going to, with all the information I gather every night, I'm going to question you and we're going to implement it into this AI, into this basically like fake suit of skin of you. And it's going to be basically a copy of you for all counts and purposes, but it's not going to be you. And that version of you is going to be down with your wife while you're in outer space, protecting her from like, you know, what's going on down here. Cause there's people trying to like outsiders trying to steal their crops and everything. Right, yeah, yeah. And he's like, eventually like, well, you know, I don't want her having sex with this thing. And they're like, well, your wife's going to have needs and blah, 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 blah. And it leads to this bigger question that like, it's like, if I don't know, it's weird. Like I was thinking like, if I was in outer space, but you were down on Earth, fucking a version of myself, would I still get jealous? Probably. Even though it's me.
Cause it's not really you though.
Right.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's just like weird stuff to think about like that.
Like, I think the difference though, like, cause you talked about the Black Mirror episode, is that they were inhabiting those vessels. So when the wife they were in was control. Having sex, it was actually them.
Right.
But like, this is different cause it's not.
Right, so as this is going on, you think like that the relationship is like getting better. And he starts to like feel things for her and realize different things. And he's like, oh, I like it when you play your piano. And she's like, oh, you never liked it when I played my piano. Why do you like it now? And, you know, other little details are trickled in where he's like having like this fun loving nature again. And then the twist comes where you find out that like he has already been switched, right, yeah. And he's basically the clone. And it's like so fucking weird and like heartbreaking because like the husband comes down from outer space after his 3 years and he's like looking at like this thing and the thing's like thinks it's real and it's like screaming and crying and the wife's crying and this wife like all attached to it and doesn't want them to kill it and they have to like like shoot it in the head and like wrap it up like in this weird like vacuum form container thing and she's crying and she's all upset and they take the thing away and then the husband's basically like left with her like, you know, I didn't think you were gonna have sex with it and thought you were gonna have a little decency and not get fall in love with it and stuff like that. And then basically it comes like 360 where like she finds out like it's basically like they fell out of love.
Right.
She fell in love with like the fake version of him that was him. And then at the end they fall back in love again.
Okay.
It's like a love story.
Yeah.
But it's done in such a cool way. It's not like, I think the visuals in it are very lo-fi, but they do just enough to give you like the sense of this like weird world that exists. The landscape's all dried. There's these weird chicken farms that they work on where all these chickens are being like killed like on an assembly line and he works at it.
Yeah.
And weird like people coming to their house and stealing their, there's no like explanation as what's happening. You have to just kind of put the pieces together. Like people are robbing them. Like these weird people that live like out, like in the wilds, just like wild people. So yeah, I think I got like a 5 out of 10 on IMDb or something like that. And man, I really think it deserves better than that. I'd like really, really enjoyed it for being like, just kind of like an indie sci-fi movie. It was great. I recommend it. I highly recommend it. I enjoyed it more than The Creator. I thought story-wise, and it's not going to be one of those big blockbuster movies. It has a very short and kind of subtle story to tell, and I love the way it did it.
Yeah, so, 5.4 out of 10.
I recommend.
I like her. I think she's a good actress.
I want to hand it off to you now, Toots.
All right. Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Oh, God.
All right. Thanksgiving.
Talk about movies that people were jerking off about.
2023, directed by Eli Roth. Starring Patrick Dempsey, Gina Gershon
for 5 seconds.
And then a bunch of people, I don't know, young kids.
Yeah, who cares about these kids? TikTokers and such.
Oh my God. So basically, and it's funny because going into this, I know that you said that like we watched a trailer, but I honestly had zero idea what this movie was about.
Here's the thing. The trailer was like, did nothing for me. I didn't give a shit about the movie.
Yeah.
I was like, whatever. It looks like a fucking slasher I've seen a million times in the early 2000s. I don't care. Then I heard everybody jerking off about it, saying it was fucking good. It was fun. This, that, and the other thing. And then I watched a movie and I'm like, this is exactly what I thought it was. It's an early 2000s fucking slasher that's not particularly done fairly well. However, the first 10, 15 minutes were amazing.
It's probably like the first 20 minutes.
Yeah. And then I was bored as fuck for a huge chunk of the movie.
It was pretty predictable. I mean, you kind of figured out.
And then it just turns into a kind of like a Scream sequel.
Yeah. Like I know and we did last summer.
The kills, I heard people saying the kills are great. Some of the kills are fun.
Yeah.
Most of the kills are just like this person's getting stabbed in the back or something stupid.
Yeah.
But we'll get into it. Do you want to talk about it? So if you're not familiar, it was a fucking trailer for Grindhouse like 20 years ago, the Robert Rodriguez movie. Eli Roth made this trailer for Thanksgiving. Everybody's like, you should make that into a, you know, movie. And, you know, as the hourglass runs out of sand and Eli Roth is, you know, in his 50s now, he's like, I should probably just do this.
Because, you know, I'm about to die this year.
And he did it. And for all accounts and purposes, this movie is much better than what they tried to do with the Halloween reboots.
And it was better than Green Inferno.
Aside from the first Halloween reboot, which I thought was great, the next two, this destroys it.
Yeah.
But Eli Roth has not done anything good in, you know, depending on what last movie you like of his. The only movie I like of his really is Cabin Fever.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's ever done anything better than that. And I still don't think he's done anything better than that.
Cabin Fever was good.
But yeah.
So this movie, so it starts off with, it's Thanksgiving and a father who works at the Wright Mart gets called into work.
Are we really going to go through the movie?
But like, I just want to start off. That's because this is the beginning is the best part.
The beginning.
There, meanwhile, there are hordes. This is in Boston, Massachusetts. Hordes of Bostonians.
There are Boston whores.
The Boston hordes were waiting to come into Wright Mart for their free toaster or whatever. Waffle iron.
Also, can I just say for the record, if this was supposed to take place like in the late 90s, early 2000s, I would buy it. This does not happen anymore with Black Fridays where people stay outside. You should have had this be like a really long ago flashback.
Yeah, it should have been.
People don't give a fuck about Black Friday anymore.
It's all internet shopping.
Malls are dead and the malls that are open, Black Friday's basically like 3 months now. Yeah. It's the sales just go on and on and on. They don't stop. So that I always thought was a miss.
Yeah, so it's like this Black Friday event starting on Thanksgiving night and this horde of people like break through the doors and people are trampled and people are murdered.
There's another movie where this happens.
Probably.
I don't remember what it was.
Krampus starts this way.
Right, okay, Krampus, that's what
it is. Krampus starts this way, but it's like a more effective, believable, Christmas fucking meltdown. Yeah. I don't know, whatever.
I thought it was a cool thing, but I was like, I've seen this before and I don't know. It's not particularly that original.
I think it was just so we could hear all the Boston accents. Mm-hmm. People yelling at each other. Anyway, so people get killed and then someone decides they're going to get revenge on all the people who were there and the people that were filming it for their Instagrams. And so there's a series of murders and there's a who's responsible.
Just scream. Who did it?
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I like the setup. However, I don't think the setup leads you to an interesting conclusion because when you see who the person was that was killing it, I'm like, I don't understand really why he's so pissed off, why this matters.
Well,
I understand why because he explains it, but it doesn't hit like hard, right? It's like the end of Scream hits hard for a reason.
Right.
You know, with the kids and stuff like that. This, I don't know, man. You really got to go back to the drawing board to make things interesting. Like, I didn't think the killer was particularly cool looking. He looked like a very anemic, like.
Well, he's wearing this, like, pilgrim costume and this mask, which at one point when the mask gets burnt is really kind of cool.
Yeah.
But then he puts a regular mask back on. So you're like,
Yeah, he doesn't use
the coolness is not there.
The clown part's cool when he's in the parade and he's cool, in like a clown outfit. That's fucking, ruled. Then they kind of do the Scream thing with the voice modulator and you're like, it's just like a lot of things you've seen from a lot of different movies put into one movie. And it's not really all that original.
Right.
And if you like it, that's fine. It's not for me, bro.
Yeah.
Very Y2 killers movie. Of just movies from the early 2000s that were not particularly good.
It definitely has that vibe, but it doesn't have the corniness of that, which I liked, I think.
What do you mean?
I
think it's corny as shit, this movie.
Yeah, but like not in a good way.
It's got like that Eli Roth humor.
And maybe it's just nostalgia for like me being a teenager in like my early 20s and watching those movies where I'm like, these aren't great, but like, I don't know. I enjoyed them at the time.
There's definitely like fun to be had in it, but like we watched it last night and I'll tell you, like, for a Saturday night sitting there drinking gin and tonic, I was fucking pretty bored out of my mind watching this movie. I wasn't having all that much fun with it, and I was trying to, but there was some good kills in there that I enjoyed. The woman getting pushed by the car into the dumpster and the dumpster cutting her in half.
That was funny because it was so stupid.
Yeah. But again, it was like CGI. It looked like total fucking shit.
It was like, okay, somebody gets their head chopped off. Someone gets stabbed with like...
A lot of people get their heads chopped off.
An electronic carving knife. Like an electric carving knife. Like, well, it wasn't
But
really...
he did feed the cat, so you liked that.
That part was great because he did care enough to stop and feed the hungry kitty. Mm. Yeah.
The Eli Roth humor is definitely in there. I don't know, man.
At least there wasn't like a diarrhea scene.
These movies exist. So to me, this movie was basically like Happy Birthday to Me. I've seen it before, you know, gather all the people around the table, except for a birthday party. Yeah. It's going to be for Thanksgiving. Cool. Kind of cool. Kind of cool that you tried to, you cooked the woman, right? That was right, kind of neat.
That was in like a giant oven. That was fine.
Kind of cool that you made the dad eat a part of her leg.
Yeah.
That was kind of neat. But they, I don't feel like with his movies still, like, I see people saying like, oh man, he really figured out how to make a good movie by watching all like the classics. I don't agree with that. And I don't think anything's earned in this movie as far as like kills. It's just like random scenarios, random people, not particularly great kills across the board. Aside from a few handful, I do like the circular saw scene. However, yeah. I've seen that too. And there's a movie called Trick or Treat that happens in a million times better. I don't know. I was kind of just bored with this movie and all in all. And yeah. I don't really have a need to see the sequel that he's apparently already writing.
And it was just like, you were like, yeah, I knew who did it. Like, I didn't, but I wasn't really thinking, I didn't care because to think that much.
I mean,
but
spoiler alert.
But it was also like,
it's the cop.
Right. But it's also like, let's try to make it look like it's the ex-boyfriend, but clearly not the ex-boyfriend. Well, it's just like,
that's what they do. They wanted you to think it was the ex-boyfriend, and they did all this stupid stuff where they were like hitting at the cop the whole movie. And I was like, if it's the cop, this is the stupidest fucking twist ever. I hate it when it's the cop.
Yeah.
We've seen this before a million times also. Try to do something interesting if you're going to try to make us, especially nowadays when you want to see like a new slasher enter the ring. And I don't know. I think it has potential for a sequel.
I think it would have been a cooler story if it was like the ghost of some like Native American.
Whoa, right? No. Cancel.
Why? Like, you're who canceled. Is killing people at Plymouth, Massachusetts? Fucking pilgrims.
What, like fucking...
Trying to get their revenge on like the white folk.
Like, what's his name? What's his name? Fucking Wooden... Oh, God damn it. What's his fucking name? Wooden Joe from fucking Creepshow 2.
Creepshow, yeah. I don't know. Something that was like, not just like, oh, you killed my mistress. I gotta kill all you kids.
Stupid. Yeah. And Gina Gershon's death was dumb as fuck.
It was dumb.
Her hair gets ripped off and a little piece of scalp flips back. And I'm like, that's the shot you went with, my bro? That was fucking stupid as fuck.
She was literally in this movie for like 5 minutes.
And I don't also like, I mean, you start to lose me when you're, when you start bringing in a lot of like social media stuff. It's just like, I understand.
Yeah, but that's like what the kids want. Right. That's like that's what kids are doing.
And I get that.
And we're old.
And I totally fucking, I know I'm
we're
old.
We're fucking old.
I know I'm old, but it doesn't make me fucking like it anymore. Old Chief Woodenhead, by the way.
Old Chief Woodenhead.
Not Wooden Man or whatever the fuck I said.
My grandparents had like one of those cigar store Indians or whatever.
Of course they did. Fucking, they weird. Probably ran, they probably did like fucking rainstorm chants around it too. Those people were so cultured. Your grandparents.
Those my dad's parents.
Yeah. Trash people.
Dude.
Oh, man. So cheer me up, Steph. I've been waiting.
I'm excited to talk about this.
I tasked Steph with watching this movie.
This seems familiar. And you're like, yeah, because we tried to watch it.
We did
it,
try to watch it.
Turned it off.
And I was like, this is some artsy fartsy bullshit. I cannot do it. But then the other day I was like thinking, I was like, remember that artsy fartsy movie I was trying to watch? I'm going to make Steph watch it and talk to me about it.
Oh, man. It's going to take me a while to tell the story.
Because
it's not a long movie.
The director is one of my favorite cult classic directors. Miss 45.
Okay. So right, the movie is The Addiction from 1995.
The Addiction.
Directed by Abel Ferrara, who directed MS 45. Is that what it is? Miss 45.
Not MS. It's like not Microsoft 45. Like it's like
I'm thinking of MI5, which is like that's what Gary Oldman was. He's a MI5 agent. Okay. And
this is boring me.
Also, Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah, Bad Lieutenant.
And King of New York.
King of New York.
Okay, so I'm going to just start off by talking about the cast.
Maine Lieutenant Harvey Keitel jerks off outside of the car of a little girl. And don't watch The Bad Lieutenant with fucking Nicolas Cage. Don't do that, because that's the sequel and it's stupid. It has nothing to do with the original. Just watch the original Bad Lieutenant.
Yeah, so I'm just going to tell you. Let me just, I'll name the people in this cast.
Okay.
And then I'll tell you.
Okay, mommy.
Okay, Lily Taylor as Kathleen.
She is in The Haunting.
She's in Pecker, which is a John Waters movie.
I've never seen that.
With Edward Furlong. Terrible. Mm-hmm. She's also in 6 Feet Under. She's the one brother's wife who like walks into the ocean and kills herself. Mm. Remember that? You watched 6 Feet Under.
I did. I don't remember.
Okay.
It's been like 20 years.
Annabella.
30 years.
Sciorra? I want to say also there's like 5 people from
Skeet.
The Sopranos in this movie.
Oh yeah?
She was in The Sopranos. She was his therapist.
Ooh.
Doesn't she commit suicide? This is a theme.
I don't remember, bro.
Edie Falco.
Who's that?
Carmella.
Dee Snider. Soprano. That's Dee Snider.
Carmella Soprano.
Oh shit, Dee Snider back.
Christopher Walken.
Under the blade. Oh,
okay. The funny thing is, some of these people are literally.
You're under Tony Soprano. Oh yeah, come on, Carmelo, take that fucking super sats.
Michael Imperioli.
Who's that?
Christopher.
Okay,
he was in it too, but literally a minute.
Didn't Christopher start doing heroin in the show?
Yeah, dude, he was a fucking mess.
Oh man, Chris, why?
Christopher,
why you do that, Chrissy?
Okay, Paul Calderon.
Calderon, Paul.
Who you know this dude? Do you recognize him?
Yes.
Yeah, he's in a ton of shit.
Yeah, what is he from?
He is the professor.
Oh my god, I gotta look up why he's from, while you're talking.
I'm looking it up.
He looks so familiar.
He was in Pulp Fiction, he was in King of New York, he was in he's in Bosch. He's one of the cops in Bosch.
I don't fucking watch Bosch. Fucking idiot.
Boardwalk Empire. He's in a ton of shit.
Okay. He kind of looked like he was from Big Trouble in China. That's what I want to
He might
up.
Be. Catherine Erbe, who you would also, she's a student. You would recognize her if you saw her.
She's a student.
And then Fredo Starr, who is from the rap group Onyx.
Oh, yeah? What was Onyx's hit?
Dum, 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 dum. Is that right? Let the boys be boys. Isn't that?
I don't know.
Isn't that?
Let the boys be boys. Sing more.
I can't think of more.
Dun, dun, dun. Let the boys be boys.
Look up Onyx. You would fucking know. They had a hit song. Okay, so yeah, he's in it. Because I was like, I recognize that dude. Because he did a little bit of acting.
Yeah.
So. Okay.
Slam.
Yeah, Slam.
Come on, get to the beat.
Slam. Do, 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 do.
Okay, you were singing the back part. Let boys be boys. That was like the back. That wasn't like the main lick.
No, because that was in my head. That was in my head. So anyway, he's in this movie. And there's a lot of like rap in this. It's weird because all the music in it is like gangster rap.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So Lily Taylor plays Kathleen, who is a PhD philosophy student, and Edie Falco is like her best friend, who's also a PhD student. So they're in New York City. So there's a lot. Okay, this movie's in black and white. And the movie starts off with like tons of imagery from the Holocaust.
Oh.
Where you're just looking at piles of bodies.
You're looking at it.
And it's throughout the whole movie.
Would you look at it?
It's throughout the whole movie. And they just hold shots.
Imagine if
of like dead bodies.
Imagine if Ed Bassmaster was in the Holocaust and he was just like, would you look at it?
Oh my God. So anyway, so they're working on their dissertations. They're like about to graduate and she's out one night, just like walking around. And this is when she always walks by this pizza place. And that's where the Onyx rapper guy is always like hanging out with his boys. And he's
rappers
like,
do be hanging out at pizza
like,
spots.
He's like hitting on her.
Cause you know why? Cause you don't know when the hankered for a garlic knot is going to hit.
That's true. So anyway, every time, like, so she walks by him and he's like hitting on her. He's like, yeah, baby, whatever. And she just blows him off. Like,
how's that pussy smelling?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how's guys do?
So anyway, she's walking by herself and this woman, Annabella Sciorra, whatever her name is like very, very hot and sexy, right? Grabs her, throws her in an alley, and then is like, tell me to go away. Tell me to leave. And then, and she's just like, oh God, I'm so scared. And she doesn't tell her. So she fucking bites her. She's a vampire.
Mm.
Bites her neck. So then Kathleen like is like, oh, writhing around. She goes home. Oh, she goes to the hospital. And then she's given a police report and the cop's like, you're lucky she didn't slit your throat. And then just walks
away. So true. So true.
So anyway, she's at the hospital and she goes home. The bandage on her neck is bloodier. Like, you wouldn't leave a hospital that's kinda as like, bloody as she is.
But that's kind of like how what you would do. Because I can't tell you how many times I have to shoo homeless people away from Steph because they come up to her and ask her for
that's
stuff.
That's not true.
And you don't tell them no. You just like, that well, one time. No, you'd be like, well, maybe I'll give you stuff. Maybe I will. Maybe I will.
No,
and
I didn't.
And then I'm coming up and I'm like, get out of here. Get out of here, vermin. I gotta fucking
don't call people vermin.
spit on them, spray them with like a I carry around like a wet sprayer with me.
Yeah,
and I just wet them a little bit,
like a cat.
Yeah, and they run. They don't like it.
So anyway, then she leaves the hospital and she goes home, and I guess this is when she starts to like transition, and she's like writhing around on the floor.
Stop saying writhing.
And she's like sweaty.
Is she undulating?
And she's just bleeding all over the place. And then
is she going through the transformation at this point?
Well, you don't know, right? Because like, she's not. No one has vampire teeth in this movie. Also, because there's a lot of talk about addiction throughout the whole movie, right?
Hashtag Philly.
Like, getting your fix and, like, addiction. And then also, immediately when she was at the hospital, the doctor was like, well, the AIDS virus. Like, ooh. Immediately. So, like, I mean, obviously, there are themes in this movie. So, anyway, she starts to change. Like, you see, like, this... like a change where she's like, now I'm like a goth kid. Dressing in black. Mm-hmm. I'm painting my fingernails.
She
black.
Goes and she gets like a cold chamber seating.
But then she's like sick, right? So she's like in the infirmary, wherever. I don't know. Do universities have infirmaries anymore? But she's there and they're like, you're in
Like a school university?
I don't know. They kept calling it the infirmary. I'm like, well, you're in New York. You're either at a hospital or like, I don't know where you are. So then she's like, she's like, has like her personality changes where she was kind of like a little timid when she would see people on these guys on the street. And now she's like, I walk by you rappers and I'm like, yeah, baby, I'll pick you up later.
Does
you
she know? Like join in a rap at some point? Like really white?
No.
I like to dance really fast. Watch me as I do the blast.
But so I guess she starts to have cravings. It's not clear that she has cravings, except that one day she's walking
for
down
like Wawa, right?
For blood. So she's walking down the street.
And like I really need to get me a turkey gobbler right now.
There's a homeless dude on the sidewalk, passed out or asleep. She pulls a needle and a syringe out of her pocket and just sticks it in his vein and pulls. It draws blood.
You can't just do that.
Well, that's what she does. She goes home and she shoots up.
Shoots up the. Why did she just drink it?
Because in this movie,
they shoot up the blood.
They drink blood. They also inject blood.
It just seems like unnecessary.
It does seem unnecessary.
If you're going to shoot it up. It just seems like an extra step. A step too far.
But she gets high off of it.
Oh.
Right? She gets high. So that happens, right? And then she's like,
I do like that. I like that they can just drink it and it's like satiatingly, or they could shoot it up and they get high.
Yeah. Right. So then she's like, goes back to school and she like just, like her attitude is like, I'm too cool for school.
I don't want
to
learn no more.
Like she wears like sunglasses all the time.
Yeah.
You know? And like, she's getting kind of greasier. Like she's clearly not bathing. Her hair is like greasy.
It happens.
But she goes to school and she's like, the professor's like, oh, like,
you drive-ass turkey.
Are you okay? I heard you weren't feeling well. She's like, yeah, like, let's meet up tonight. So they go to this
hold on, with the
cafe.
Teacher?
Yeah, they go to like this cafe.
Who's the teacher?
The Paul Calderon guy.
Who? What did you
say? The guy, the Paul Calderon. This guy.
That sounds like
that's a professor.
Oh, that's like a character from Lord of the Rings.
So they go to this place where they're listening to like, I don't remember what it was.
Cold chamber.
Some kind of classical music. And she was like, not talking to him. He's like, this is weird. I'm going to go. And she's like, this music's depressing me. Let's get out of here. So then they go to her apartment and she's like, come in. And he's like, yeah, I don't know. She's like, no, come into my apartment. So they go in the apartment and she gets all there like kissing. She's all sexual. And she's like, lay on my bed and wait for me. She comes back with a tray that is like a candle and needles and syringes.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day, like they just show like, it doesn't show you what happens. And then he's passed out and there's like, it says like in and out written on his arm where she's injecting him and like drawing his blood.
Yeah.
So basically
he's horny as shit because he just let her.
He's like, I'm your professor. I'm rolling my sleeve up. Whatever you want, lady.
Is it like, is she invading his mind?
I don't think so.
And using
it's all sexual prowess.
Oh yeah. I mean, the woman does have this control, which is why I don't understand why women still don't rule the world, because all it takes is a BJ promise and you get what you want. You know?
Yeah.
BJ promises go a long way. Like, a cunnilingus promise don't mean shit. You know, if I make a promise to you of cunnilingus, you're going to be like, whatever.
Right.
I'm going to get that anyway.
Yeah.
You know? BJ promises go a long way.
So then you don't really know what happens to him because you don't see him again until the end of the movie, right? Okay, whatever. So then she just like is getting worse and worse, where she's like dirtier and like she's attacking random people, like other students. And then she'll do the same thing that like her vampire did to her, where she's like, tell me to go away. Tell me to leave and mean it. And no one, everyone's terrified. So then she just like bites them.
Everybody's complacent, like Steph. They don't want to tell the homeless people to shoo.
So then also I want to say like she just walks around very slowly. It's really annoying. So I'm like, something happened, please. She's just like plodding along in her black sunglasses. So then one day she's walking. This is all at night. She's out walking down the street and she approaches a man, Christopher Walken. And she's like, does it to him. She grabs his hand. She's like, tell me to go away. And he's like, bitch, I'm a fucking vampire too. Come to my place. So then he takes her to his apartment and he's like, it's like this artsy fartsy fucking apartment. And he's like, I've been.
Can you talk like Christopher Walken?
No, I can't. No.
Come on.
You know. I don't know. That's what he says to her. I have to say the best line. So he's like,
you know.
He's like, number one, he says, your breath smells like shit. He says it to her. And then he's like, you need to blend in. He's like, I've been fasting for 40 years. He's like, I eat, I drink, I defecate. When's the last time you did that? That's my favorite line. So then he drinks her blood and he's like, and you're going to feel like you haven't eaten in weeks. And then he leaves, right? That's all. He's in the movie for 5 minutes and then he's gone. But then she's like going through withdrawal.
I eat, I defecate.
Right.
When's the last time you've eaten? Yeah.
And then, so then she's like, wakes up and she's like going through withdrawal basically because she's like, doesn't have any blood. She's hungry. So she goes out and she's like, falls on the sidewalk and she's like, oh God. And then this guy's like, oh man, miss, are you okay?
Oh man, that bitch fucked up.
And he picks her up and then she bites him. Right. So she's just biting all these people.
Yeah.
But then she's like, I got to get my shit together. Because Christopher Walken told me.
I got to go back to college.
So she fit, right. She starts writing her dissertation.
Are you serious?
Yes. She finished.
What the fuck?
She's at the library. She's writing her dissertation. She fucking gives it. She graduates. Now she's a doctor.
Now she's president.
Now she's a doctor. And she starts dressing. Like she bathes. She dresses nice. And then they have this big banquet.
Tell me she marries Christopher Walken at the end.
He's not in the movie anymore again. So anyway, they have this big banquet party for like, I guess the PhD student graduates or whatever.
Yes, as they do.
So all these people are there and it's real fancy and she like loses her fucking mind because she runs into Christopher outside, Michael Imperioli, and he's like a preacher and he's like, oh, Satan, and she's like, come on inside, and he's like, nah. So she goes in and she's like, fucking, I told you to come in, you didn't want to come in. She's smashing all this stuff, she's a mess, her hair's a mess. And then she's like, Carmela comes in and Carmela's like, what's going on? She's like, find a woman.
Carmela comes in and she's like, I want to rock.
So she's like, find a woman my size so I can wear her clothes. So Carmela goes out and gets this girl, brings her back. They attack her. She takes her clothes. She goes out to the party and she's like, I just want to thank everyone for being here. And then all of her vampire minions are there and they attack everyone and kill everybody at this party. But it's not like as great as you would think it would be.
It doesn't sound like it would be.
It's not lame. I mean, it's not great. It's lame.
It's not lame, but it's lame.
It's great. So they kill all these people and she's covered in blood. Yeah. This part's cool because she's wearing like a light colored.
Lily's covered in blood. Not Dee Snider.
No, they all, but they all are.
Okay.
Even her professor's there because she changed him too when she injected him.
Dee Snider like, speak no evil, don't you lay no evil down on me.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, they're feeding off all of these bodies. Yep. She's covered blood all over her face.
You said
blood
it. You said all this. Over covered her clothes. Blood, bloody. I got it.
She goes. She leaves. She goes out in the street.
She
basically looks like a homeless person because she's talking to herself.
And then Christopher Walken comes and he's like, "Your breath still stinks."
She's talking to herself. She's like all like whatever in her own mind, and people are all like gathering around her, like, "Are you okay?" Because she's covered in blood. Are you okay? And she collapses, and then she wakes up in a hospital. It's a Catholic hospital because there's a crucifix above her bed.
And she turns to flames.
Annabella, see her maker, Annabella Ciora, comes in and she's like talking to her, and she's like says the best line ever. She says to her, "We're not evil because of the evil we do, but we do evil because we are evil."
And
isn't that great?
And I'll just be like, buggers.
It's great. Because she's like, I think she's like,
I am what I am.
Right? She's battling what this is and what it means.
That's all that I am.
Who said that? Popeye?
Yeah.
And Popeye.
I think so.
Popeye did it. All he was doing was like getting ripped.
And
you
then,
know, like
so then,
fucking, like Barry. Like so Barry Cohagan.
She leaves her and she's in the hospital.
Give these people
and then a priest comes to see her and he's like, child, can I do anything
child,
for
child,
you?
Please, please.
And she's like, I want to confess. And he's like, are you a Catholic? And she's like, oh, I was baptized. And then she doesn't actually say anything. But then he's like, she's like, just like, bless me, God, or something. And then he gives her the communion and he leaves.
But he really just gave her like a chiclet. Because her breath stunk so bad.
So then she gets out of the hospital and she goes to visit a grave and the gravestone has her name on it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this narrow voiceover thing that says like, self-revelation is the annihilation of self. That's the end of the movie.
What? And Abel Ferrara's just like, he's like sitting, it cuts to Abel Ferrara with like fucking 60 tubes up his asshole and they're all in his mouth and he's just like, the circle of life is my farts going into my mouth and me farting out my farts and me swallowing my farts and more farts come out of my butt and my butt farts go into my mouth hole and more farts, farts.
But I forgot to mention that the Onyx guy, the rapper, she drinks his blood and makes him a vampire.
So
He's at the party. He's one of the vampires.
And he becomes Blade.
And he's not a daywalker.
Yeah, that would be cool. That's cool side quest.
I had to break this movie up into two viewings because it was painful.
Man, only two? Would have took me 40.
It's only an hour and 22 minutes long.
Sometimes those movies are the stinkiest, man.
Dude.
It's kind of crazy to me because when I watched that movie and I found out it was Abel Ferrara, I was like so excited because I love Miss 45 so fucking much.
Well, you love Bay Lieutenant, right?
I love Bay Lieutenant, yeah. I watched that. I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I think Russell Simmons was a producer. Like Russell Simmons, isn't that like, what's he known for? Hip hop stuff. That's how they got Onyx in the soundtrack. I don't know.
I mean, did they need Onyx though?
I don't know. Did they need to make this movie?
Yeah, they did.
But like Christopher Walken, that's what it got
to
good.
Bring awareness to AIDS
and addiction.
And addiction
is clearly about drug abuse.
Addiction.
The movie definitely picked up when Christopher Walken shows up. But then he's in it for 5 minutes.
He's got long hair in it too, right?
He does. It's weird.
Yeah.
Because it's like hanging in his face.
Right.
Yeah.
Your breath stinks.
He does drink her blood though, which is, and then he has blood down his mouth. He's literally in it for 5 minutes.
They probably saw he was like, they probably had him for a day because he was maybe in town. So they're like,
I also feel like the whole cast of The Sopranos was like, they were like New York actors who were like starving artists. And they were like, we're all waiters.
Right.
And they were like, yeah, be on this movie.
Right.
You know?
That's cool.
It's fine.
It's a shame James Gandolfini wasn't like the vampire in it.
I wish he was in it.
Yeah.
And Fat Pussy.
Fat Pussy.
Big Pussy.
I wish Huge Pussy was in it. Enormous Pussy.
Big Pussy.
Gigantic Pussy. I wish he was in it.
Oh, my God.
So sloppy.
I mean, was it enjoyable for me to tell you about it?
It wasn't as enjoyable as your last, that's my fault because I told you to watch this one.
I mean, it wasn't as enjoyable as a movie.
So
Jesus.
I will say for the next time, Gore, I will request that you pick out a movie that's terrible to watch on your own.
For you to watch?
No, you.
Oh,
and
fuck,
do the same thing. You're better at doing the beat by beat stupidness. I could give you one. I got a laundry list of movies you could watch. But anyways, I think it's fun when I don't have any kind of knowledge about the movie beforehand and you just bring it to me. That was our episode of Sodom and Gomorrah. Sorry it took so long for bringing another one. The last one was in October. It took us quite a bit of time.
Long time.
Anyway, I do have an idea for the next Sodom and Gomorrah. I want to do 4 Friedkins, and we're going to each pick 2 Willem Friedkin movies since he died last year, and we'll talk about them. I already know what my 2 are going to be: Cruising and To Live and Die in LA. And Steph will pick 2, and that'll be our next SNG episode.
I feel like you picked the best 2, and you're leaving me with...
Yeah, so much. We talk about fucking Sorcerer is the best.
We'll see.
I'm not going to tell you what to pick, but Sorcerer is the best, and you should pick it. Sorcerer is the best. It is like one of the best,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
He's got a huge, you know...
You know what's funny? I want to say...
Obviously not Exorcist.
You were singing this song earlier about, like, the Mac is back. What were you saying? What was it called?
Return of the Mac!
And when you said to
Return
me...
Return of the Mac!
Your idea for the next episode, I thought you said 4 from Freakin', and I was like, 4 from Freakin'? Are you talking about, like, sexy songs?
Yeah, sexy songs. Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea what you were saying.
He's a character, man. I've watched so many fucking shits with him since he passed because I always knew he was like, he's weird when he talks. He sounds exactly like Donald Trump.
Oh.
It's fucking weird. But like, if Donald Trump could be articulate and smart, which he's not capable of, but he has like that delivery and voice, I'll have to let you listen to some of his stuff because you'll just be like, oh my God, it's strange.
Weird.
But anyways, anything to add to the end here? Are you sorry for us taking so long?
Yeah, I am sorry.
To apologize.
I wanted to actually, I'm sorry, public.
Pubic public.
No, I know it's taken forever. And it's funny because it doesn't feel like it's been that long.
That's because the older you get, life, time just slips away.
We've talked about it.
It slips away from you.
I just wanted to mention that, like, I have recently experienced audiobooks for the first time. And
No one cares. People don't care about that.
No, I've been to Stephen King books and they're really good.
Yeah, but also, like, don't do that. A physical media for life. I don't agree with the Audible thing.
Yeah, but when I'm on, like, I listen on Spotify and they cut me off after so many hours.
That's what I'm saying. It's fucking, but if you,
I like to listen on the train and stuff.
But here's the thing.
You know?
If you own a book through Audible, you don't ever own it.
This is not Audible though. It's Spotify and I don't
want to
listen.
Whatever it is.
Yeah.
Even Spotify. I endorse Spotify, but if you like an album, you should purchase it, physical copy.
Yeah, well, clearly we own hundreds of books.
They're trying to do this. They're trying to do this with movies now. And then what they're finding is people have bought all these movies, right?
Right.
Through their PlayStations.
Yeah.
Through whatever.
Prime or whatever, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, people who sold it to you lose the license. And that means that you don't own it anymore either.
Oh, that sucks.
Because it's erased from your fucking library. And that's bullshit.
Yeah.
So
that is bullshit.
Physical media for life. It's not ever going to, physical media is going to slowly go away. The people who care about owning things are slowly becoming littler and littler and littler.
Yeah,
and littler,
like our generation, when we die, then who's going to care about it?
I tell Steph, like, when I die, Steph burning all my shit. My shit, she don't care about it. My movies, my tapes,
your toys,
all my collectibles. She don't care at all. It'll be like, I never fucking existed.
I'm not going to burn any fucking books, that's for sure.
Yeah, but you'll sell all this shit.
I care about the books.
I'll be dead for like, I'll be like, not even cold in the ground, and this shit will be gone. It'll be out
like
the door.
Estate sale. Get your ass in
here. Not even estate sale. Steph will be out in the front street getting top dollar for whatever.
Dude, top dollar from who?
For whoever comes by. Top dollar to you is not what top dollar is to me, but people are getting a fucking bargain.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be rolling over in my grave, as they say.
Yeah.
Tossing and turning, churning and burning.
They do say that.
Yep. And then, you know, before we know it, it's going to be 2 years from now will be the next episode. We'll try to get out to you quicker. Until next time, we'll see you in the cities of sin on Sodom and
Gomorrah.
Because of the end of civilization, the Clamp Cable Network now leaves the air. We hope you have enjoyed our programming, but more importantly, we hope you have enjoyed life.